Testing 1, 2, 3. It should be coming through right now. Apologies if I'm a little rusty. It's been a big weekend. I've had a lot to digest and process. Just gonna check the sound's all right. Sounds pretty good. It should be coming through. Alrighty, I didn't intend to start the stream this way, but I had members of the community reach out to me when I said that I was the wider community, as I said I was going live. And I was asked a whole bunch of questions about whether I'm going to talk about the homeland implosion or the Kunye issue. The Pope died. What else has happened? Apparently, Keir Starmer, there's rumors coming out that he's a homosexual and that he's had gay sex with a Muslim lord, a Muslim that's in the House of Lords. So, for some reason, and I mean, the Pope was definitely a homosexual as well. He was a faggot leftist. Rest in piss. Yeah, I didn't actually intend to talk about any of those things, to be honest. I woke up this morning quite phlegmy, just a little bit run down, and had a coffee and had a shower. And while I was in the shower, for some reason, the hive mind was bringing up something in my past. And I couldn't quite get my mind off it, but it was just a story about when I was in the army, when I was really young and I'd first joined the army. And I hadn't even finished training yet. I was actually at basic training when the story starts. And if you've been following my streams for years, you might have recalled the story that I may have mentioned it on stream. I'm not sure, but it was called the Commando Chronicles, and it's a really long story. A lot of the guys have heard it around the campfire over the years, and I'm not sure if I've shared it with the public or not, but maybe I have. So I don't want to bore you to death if I have to tell the story again. But for some reason, that whole incident was in my mind, and I was thinking a lot about when I opened Twitter, for example. There was a photo of that Sarah Stock with her priest, and I'm going to practice, I think for the first time ever, actually pulling up a photo. I don't even know if I can, if I'm such a boomer tech. Thultad, of all people, was going having a crack at her, which was pretty funny. I can still see Twitter. I just can't post. I can't do anything with it. Sarah Stock. I mean, you guys, I'm sure you guys know the photo that I'm talking about, but I'll try and pull it up. But it was a photo of her with her priest. Here we go. I am officially Catholic of Christus Rex. I'm assuming that's Latin for Christ is King. Now to boomer tech for you. I'm going to import. Display capture. I think that's the right one. Display capture. Display capture. Okay. Jeez, that would have just absolutely messed with you. Does that come up on stream? Is that this photo here? Anyway. I'm not sure if that's coming through, but if it is, it is. If it's not, it's not. Anyway, I'll get rid of that now. I gotta delete this. Remove. All right, there's probably a simpler way to do that, I'm sure, but that's all you're getting. I'm gonna check if that came through. It did. Holy shit, that's funny ass. All right, you just entered the Matrix. So yeah, that came up on my feed, and then she was promoting some race mixed couple at the Catholic Church, and I thought, this is madness. This is absolutely crazy. And just look at that photo. I'm watching it now. And just look at that priest. Sorry to start slow this morning, but this is just so much to process with that one photo alone. It's easy to say, oh, soy Jack, right? I'm sure he's a good guy. There's both sides to every story. But I thought of that, and I thought about how I've mentioned on stream before this idea where there's a prostitute in the Bible that's going to be punished. And My understanding of the story, I would have to read the New Testament again to give you the full detail one, but I'm sure you're aware of the story. And Jesus basically, he's already quite a well-respected character by this point. And he tells everyone that they can't kill the prostitute, that they can't punish her. I'm pretty sure she's a prostitute. And he says to them that ye without sin, throw the first stone, something along those lines. And obviously no one's without sin, so how do you throw the stone? How do you punish prostitution? And I remember reading that and thinking to myself, I don't agree with this. And I have said this on stream, so I don't want to go over covered ground. But at the same time, the next thought that goes through my mind is my missus was having an issue with her family because she went away to spend time with Easter with her family, and at some point the concept of pedophiles came up, and my missus and I are on the same page with how pedophiles need to be punished appropriately and traditionally and historically and morally and everything else, but her family were against the death penalty for pedophiles, for people that rape children. And she got into a massive argument with her family, and her family basically were saying to her that brought up that article. There was an article, I don't know if you saw it recently, about it was like another blonde white baby makers, like that we're grooming these women that don't have any sentience themselves, and just converting them into neo-Nazi baby makers, which is pretty funny because it's basically saying like that women don't have agency unless they're like libtards, which is just obviously inverted. Libtard women have no agency, they're just slaves for the system, and do Excel spreadsheets and be stuck in traffic and eat the slop, whereas our wives, they're actually happy despite all the criticism they get. But her family were kind of having a bit of a go at her for the article, not as supportive as you would expect or you would like, but I think it needs time to digest. You'll see that they'll come around. But the main argument was that they didn't want to kill pedophiles. And I just thought back to that story in the Bible about how, they couldn't kill the prostitute or you can't kill a pedophile. And I looked at that Sarah Stock image and all of this is racing through my mind. And then I'm remembering things from when I was like 18, 19 years old and I was awaiting trial, court martial for an incident that occurred. And all of these things are running through my mind. Sorry, someone's saying volume low. Sorry, I'll put my mic, I'll go cultural mode. I'll put my mic right up here. Is that better now? I'll speak up. I'll be louder. I'll put this on like a box or something. I got some books. I'll put on some books. Sorry, guys. How's that? That's like very, very close now. Someone's just doing a U-turn in my driveway for absolutely no reason. Bizarre. Anyway, where was I? So the Sarah Stock image of that priest, and you can just tell what kind of man that is. Everyone's seen men that look like that. We all have. We all know exactly what kind of creature that is. And oh, I'm sure he's a great guy. I'm sure he's a great priest. I'm sure he's inspirational. But you just know these people, they can't pull the trigger. They can't pull the tr they can't throw the stone, can they? They can't punish. They don't have it in them. They don't have it in them. Oh, let God do it. Let God sort them out. Well, that's actually not how the expression goes, is it? But there's definitely two types of Christianity. There's like a sola Christianity and there's a bitch Christianity. And the problem with Christianity, and this is coming from a pagan perspective or an agnostic perspective, or long before I was ever even really aware of Christianity, well, not aware of it, but before I studied it, and I'm sure most Christians watching this will agree with me, is that bitch Christianity is at war with sola Christianity, and bitch Christianity needs to be destroyed. It needs to be absolutely cast out and crushed, and we need to have a sola Aryan morality. And if people want to be Christian in their own home, I think that's great. But a lot of these churches, they're pro-race mixing. It's very rare to find a church that's not. As long as, we're all one in Christ, brother. It's very hard to find a priest that will baptize a Nazi because being a Nazi is basically like the Antichrist. You you're basically considered the spawn of the devil because of the lack of moral structure within the most senior ranking people within the church. They can't even get past. They will baptize a homosexual before they baptize a Nazi. This is a fact. So, when we win, that's obviously a very complicated conversation as to how the church leaders are to be treated. Lots of very good people in the church, but such an institution and how it's treated people that have tried to save Western civilization, how it's treated people that have tried to save the white race, certainly over the last 50, 70 years. I mean, we have a little bit of a change in management, I'm sure. The churches all of a sudden will tear down all the gay flags, the Protestant churches that have them up. I know the Catholics don't have the gay flags up, but the Protestant ones do. And this is not, I don't want this to be like a, I'm going to bash your Christianity or their Christianity or whatever, but this is just all these thoughts that were running through my head. And it's Easter and the Pope died. And so I'm kind of just hitting the ball, hitting the ground running. And it made me think about sacrifice more than anything. And collective and individual punishment, or collective and individual justice. I had this other thought that ran through my head. And I know I'm all over the place this morning, but you'll find I'm coming to a concrete position about morality. Another thought came through my head about the Aztecs. I think I watched the Joel and Blair show the other night, and I think they brought up the Aztecs. And how it was obviously demonic what they were doing. They were sacrificing virgins. Or maybe that wasn't the Joel and Blair show. Maybe I was watching something else. But someone was talking about this within our wider community. And the idea that, what are you sacrificing, virgins for on the mound? You obviously, that's obviously not the right thing to do. And when I heard that, the first thought I had was they should be sacrificing prostitutes. They should be sacrificing sluts. On the Aztec temple, they shouldn't have been sacrificing virgins. That's crazy. Why would you send, the good to the? It just doesn't make sense to me. And I guess that is kind of demonic in a sense. If you're feeding this demon, virgins, it just doesn't make sense. The demon shouldn't be allowed to capture those souls. There's obviously demons, and there's obviously a father of the demons, and that's where I get into philosophical debates sometimes about the concept of Yahweh, because Yahweh isn't necessarily considered the devil; he's considered God. But yet, then there's another character that's the devil, and Yahweh gets all the good souls, but also Yahweh created the torture chamber. So it creates a kind of a double negative. It's like, so good can create evil, or ultimate good, ultimate love, which is what I'm informed by Christians that Christianity is. Ultimate love can exist or exists with evil, or could create evil, and then evil has to be punished. This makes sense to me. And then the person that punishes the evil within the evil underworld, it's an interesting double negative when you think about it. And so that's where you've got the Old Testament understanding of Yahweh versus the New Testament understanding of Yahweh. It's quite obvious to anyone that's read the Old Testament that the Old Testament Yahweh punishes evil and personally hates evil and personally punishes evil. Whereas obviously the New Testament Yahweh is much more about, well, it's about Christ, it's about Jesus, which is obviously about infinite, ultimate love, and love being the highest principle, and that he sacrificed himself out of love. And I guess that's the introduction. I'll pause. I'll digest. That was a lot to unload on you, and then I guess I'll go into story time. I'll quickly check the chat. We'll see how much I've stirred the infighting today already. Where are we? Audio is low. People are saying audio is low. It is right in front of my face. It cannot get any higher. I think it's just the crap. I did say last stream that this would be my last stream on Odyssey, but I did try to set up a Rumble, a Bumble, whatever it's called. Rumble, is that it? And it was just, I got so much on my plate at the moment, but I will get round to it. So they're all arguing as to whether Hitler was a Catholic or not. They're all getting stuck at all the normal talking points that everyone gets stuck at. Brilliant. That's exactly what I intended for this stream. But it obviously it is hard. All right, I'll go into the story. I'll go into the story. So when I was in the army, the first day before we even got on the bus, I met a man, and I'll dox him. I don't give a fuck. He's a piece of shit. He's like kind of my arch nemesis, or was. Now my arch nemesis. I don't know who my arch nemesis is now. I don't know who the Antichrist is at the moment, but the inverse of who I believe to be the higher self. And I used to say De Vere was my arch nemesis, but he kind of isn't. He's like a low level boss, but he's a funny little boss. We've kind of overcome De Vere. He doesn't really pop up anymore. He's just like a low level vampire. But when I was 18, my arch nemesis was a guy called Joshua Wilkinson. He was about 21 years old, about 6'1", quite skinny. And I joined the army at the exact same time he did at Melbourne Defence Force Recruiting. And I'll never get over this individual because of what he represented. And on the bus on the way up, he started talking a lot of shit. He was one of those perpetual liars. He started saying that he was a commando, that he was in the special forces, and that he broke his hip fast roping out of a helicopter, Black Hawk Down style, which was one of my favorite movies at the time. Obviously, after Gladiator. Gladiator is my favorite movie, I'm pretty sure. And easily top three. But Black Hawk Down is easily top 10. It's a great movie. Well, maybe not top 10 anymore, maybe top 15, top 20, but it's a great movie. And I was like, oh, yeah, like in Black Hawk Down. And then he shattered his hip and he had to rebuild it and da 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 da. Now they're making him go through basic training again. And I thought that was ridiculous. That's not how it works. And then I asked him what unit he was in within the commandos. He said he was in first commandos. And I said, oh, so you're a reservist? He goes, no, first commandos full time and second commandos part time. I said, no, it's the other way around. Everyone knows that, dumbass. Anyway, it just all none of his lies made sense. He said he owned a 50 cal and an MP5, and I was asking what license type he had, and then he was telling me he was a black belt in Krav Maga, and I was like, Krav Maga doesn't have black belts. Like, everything he said was wrong. Then when we get to basic training, he was saying that his girlfriend was the CEO of Sony, and oh, sorry, the daughter of the CEO of Sony or vice CEO of Sony, and just. And he met her on a yacht that sunk, and either he died or she died, and he had to swim down and get it. Was just, and it started getting so ridiculous. I started writing this down. I wrote this book down called The Commando Chronicles. You're probably thinking, what the fuck has this got to do with the stream and sacrifice, and why is he telling the story? But it's a story that really formed my personal development as a man. This whole situation was going on as some sort of weird sideshow while I was trying to join the army and serve my country. I have the honor to be a soldier in the Australian Army, as we used to say. And I am a custodian. What is it? I am a custodian of traditions forged in battle by the Anzacs. But yeah, the actually, I might have it here. I might have it in my hat. From memory, we put it in our hats. Sorry, I'm in like my pajamas, basically. I'm just lazy, but whatever. You'll work it out. It is. It's exactly where I said it would be. Right, this is like 75% based and like 25% cringe. From memory. I have the honor. Oh, here it is. Look at that. Still in the hat where they told us to put in basic training. I have the honor to be a soldier in the Australian Army. I am a custodian of traditions forged in battle by the Anzacs. I treat others with dignity and respect and expect others to do the same. I strive to develop my proficiency and competency in the profession of arms. I do not compromise my integrity nor my moral courage. At all times, I act in ways that will bring honor to Australia and credit upon the army, my unit, and my fellow soldiers. And he has the Australian Army Soldier Virtues. Don't know if you can read that. It says, will to win, dedication to duty, honor, compassion, honesty, mateship and teamwork, loyalty, physical and moral courage. And this meant a lot to me when I was 18. This formed my identity more than anything on earth. When people talk about grooming or indoctrinating or radicalizing, that is what groomed or indoctrinated or radicalized me the most. That is the basis of my the strongest basis of my structure, and I still honor everything that is said there. We used to say that every morning at basic training. We used to shout it in hallway 44. Anyone that's been to basic training would know that. And then you go to School of Infantry afterwards. You go to SINGO, the School of Cool, for another 3 months, and you don't really repeat the soldier's code. That's why I couldn't remember it off by heart. But you do what's called the role of the infantry, which is to seek out and close with the enemy, to kill or capture him, to seize and hold ground or repel attack by day or night, regardless of season, weather, or terrain. That is the role of the infantry, to seek out and close with the enemy, to kill or capture him. It's a martial code. It's like that's what your job is. And you say that every day, many times a day, for about 3.5 months straight. And you say that one every day, multiple times a day, for about 3.5 months straight. Now that is grooming. That is indoctrination. But it's good. It's not, I don't say that in a negative. I don't say that in a bad way. That is good. That's what a nation needs to survive. And everyone that's joined our organization joins at their own free will. They are volunteers. They come and they come with their own understanding, their own worldview. We actually don't do enough grooming and indoctrination. We actually do fuck all. We do barely any. Compared to the Australian Army, compared to most universities, compared to most institutions, compared to my mother-in-law complains that every single meeting they have at her high-paying corporate job, that they do a humiliation ritual, that they do a welcome to country every single day, every single meeting. But then we'll say that we're grooming people, maybe when she's upset. And it's like, we don't even do that. We don't do some sort of ritual every single meeting, every single day to that extent. We say blood and honor after every training session, but that's tiny. That's like a little slogan. That's like a little mantra. These people are literally thanking the soil that they stand on to some fucking inferior people that have achieved absolutely nothing, couldn't even maintain the most basic harmony with nature. This idea of the noble savage is insanity. These people destroyed Australia. We're going to terraform it into greatness. And you can see it. Whenever you go out camping, the bush is just broken. And then you see these little pockets of light. You see these little beautiful spots where it's been pastured and you can see it's been cared for, and there's a whole bunch of beautiful trees that have been planted there. And you see the European trees and the oaks and the maples and the birches, and you see the cows have come through there, and it's green and it's lush, and the creek has come to life, and it's like a pocket of heaven. And then you see that the Aboriginals used fire to hunt and burnt down and destroyed the whole continent. I mean, there used to be inland lakes, and they have destroyed this continent. And we're gonna have to terraform it back for the white man. And I make the argument that what if Europe actually didn't used to look like that? What if we made it like that? What if good places are good places because they're full of good people? And that's actually I believe, in Black Beauty, written by an ancestor of mine, Anna Sewell, that good places are made by good people. Anyway, back to indoctrination and grooming and Joshua Wilkinson, that fucking rat faggot. So anyway, the reason why I was so fascinated by this guy was because I've told a few fibs in my time. As a young man in primary school, you ever wake up at night and you remember a lie you told in primary school and it keeps you up, like you're like, oh, fuck. Why did that just hit me? And it's just like a little reminder. It's like you're conscious. It's like a sense of regret. It's like, you piece of shit. Like, how dare you have made up a story in primary school to seem cool in front of your friends? And there's like two or three of those that I regret saying. This guy did two or three a day, and he's an adult. He's not like an 8-year-old. And so I hated him. I absolutely hated this guy, and I wanted to humiliate him. So I started writing down all of his stories. And so the whole time we were at basic training, I was filling out a book. I was filling out a book. I don't have it because they took it off me as evidence. But I've got books similar that have all this stuff in it, all the mantras, all the slogans, like these Spartan quotes, all this just base shit from my indoctrination. It was awesome. And it's why I want to go harder with our project. And I've 80% completed a leadership manual, and I've got a lot of projects on the go, and we're building an ideological school. That's what we're doing. That's one of our projects for this year. And it won't be public when it's completed. It might not be public for a long time. There will be elements of it that may be public so that people that aren't members can get a gist of what's going on. But ultimately, you have to join the order in order to get the proper education, to go to a proper, you know, you want to institutionalize what you're doing. And that sometimes is referred to in a bad way, like because people think institutionalized like a retard facility. But to become an institution, to become Oxford University, become like the Oxford University of racism. I think that's really important. Anyway, Joshua Wilkinson. So one day my corporal finds my little book called The Commando Chronicles, and he's reading through it. He's gone through my drawers and he's reading through it, and he's just like, Sewell, the fuck is wrong with you? Why are you writing about Wilkinson like this? This is bizarre. And then I said, Corporal, everything in that book is what he said. Like, I'm just documenting it just out of fascination. But it wasn't out of fascination. The reason why I documented it on reflection was that he was an archetype of this tiny little piece of myself that I hated. There was like this 1% of myself that I regretted, this 1%. But he was 100%. He was the archetype of being a bullshit artist. And I was like somewhere between 0.1% to 1% bullshit artist. And I hated that about myself. I didn't want to be a bullshit artist. I regretted any bullshit I had ever told. And I was trying to become a better man and have honor and hold myself in a better conduct. And so when I met this archetype of bullshit artistry, I was like, I want to humiliate this guy. I want to destroy this guy. And I wanted to destroy him as a sacrifice to destroy the part of myself I didn't like. And that brings us to the bigger conversation. If we want to skip ahead 2 hours, because that's how long it'll take to get there, knowing me. If we want to skip ahead 2 hours, that's why you kill pedophiles. That's why you kill, that's why you remove people from your society. You make them go extinct. When, not saying that you're a 1% pedophile or that I am or that anyone is, but a community has social diseases. A collective has social problems, collective problems that archetype themselves like demons. Maybe that's a Christian lens of it, but it's not. It's actually the pagan lens of it. It's actually the ancient lens is what I'm meaning to say. The ancient lens of it is that there are spirits that are good and there are spirits that are bad. There are things that are not at rest. And the reason why we say rest in peace is to try to put things at rest, good or bad. And there are demons that are bad, that are not at rest. And they enter members of the community. Just as genius enters members of the community, just as spirit and animation, anima or animus enters the community through individuals and drives the collective into a higher point. Hold on, I got to reply to a message. I'm fucking sick of people messaging me while I'm streaming. I'm streaming. Sorry, apologies. So, yeah, that's the TLDR. That's the TLDR, is the collective gets sick and it's expressed through individuals. And you have to solve the problem at a collective level, but also punish the individual where it needs to be punished. Now, if someone is depressed, that is a collective issue. If someone is sad and depressed, it is a collective issue. There's a cause for it. And often when lots of people get depressed or lots of people get sick, there's a collective, it's because society is sick. When a lot of people get physically sick, like what we're seeing at the moment where everyone's fucking fat, there needs to be a serious collective solution to that problem. You don't necessarily need to kill fat people. That's not necessarily the answer. But there is ways of managing the individual, like fat camp, and ways of managing the collective, like banning certain things or creating a positive culture around health and fitness and setting things in stone, setting personal habits in stone at an institutional level while people are young. Or the other option is just let it continue happening and see how bad it gets until you eventually come up with a response. Because that's basically what happens. If things don't fix themselves on their own, eventually a movement begins to fix it, and it usually goes really, really overboard. It usually is extremely authoritarian. It's usually, what they fear, what the sick people fear. Now, I don't like the idea that I can't punish Joshua Wilkinson because I've told a fib before. Who am I to punish the supreme fibber? For I have once or twice or three times told a fib. That is not congruent with my personal constitution. That is not how it works. We need to punish the perpetual fibber in order for everyone to heal. The universe is in a state of imbalance until the perpetual fibber is punished. And the way I wanted to punish him was just by humiliating him, by just writing all these things down. Anyway, then a meeting got called and I got dragged before and I had to stand at attention in front of officers and senior, NCOs. And they were berating me, and there was a few corporals present. And I was getting berated for not living up to the army standards because I was trying to humiliate another fellow soldier that's a good man and a good soldier, a good recruit. And while they're reading out the book, some of the corporals started turning their heads, like, you know what? Actually, I fucking heard him say that and told him to shut up. And so many people had heard little tiny parts of what I'd written down that they realized that probably the majority of what I'd written was factual, based on how many just these one-offs were real. Anyway, then they called Wilkinson in, and he obviously denied everything. And they said, "But we even heard you say this. It's not just Sewell. We heard you say some of this stuff." And then he woke up the next morning pretending to be paralyzed. That's what this character did. That's his way out of it. That's how he dealt with it. Instead of saying, "Oh, look, I've got a problem. I'm a shit poster. I'm a troll. I'm a shit talker." Instead, he pretended to be paralyzed. He woke up the next morning and he couldn't move his arm. And he was what's called back squatted to the retard platoon or the injured platoon. I can't remember what it's called, like Digger James or Weary Dunlops or something like that. There's two. There's one where they're getting rid of you and there's one where they're rehabbing you. I can't remember which one is which. Anyway, they back squatted him to there. And he left 44 platoon. And then we're marching out of basic training. And we had a guy from Weary Dunlops come up to us and say, "Who's Sewell and who's Slough?" And me and Slough were best friends. And, because there's this guy called Wilkinson who's in Weary Dunlops and he's drawing pictures of how he's going to stab you guys in your sleep. And he's drawing maps of how he's going to sneak out of Weary Dunlops and get back to 44 Platoon and kill you in your sleep. And he's a psycho. No one likes him. We're trying to get rid of him. He's psychologically unwell. And then we told him the story about this guy being a piece of shit. And then we marched out of basic training and nothing happened. We stayed up late that night going, "Fuck, he's going to try to get us before we go." Because we had humiliated him. And so he threatened violence. Anyway, I get to the School of Infantry. We're marching out of the School of Infantry 3 months later. We're about 2 weeks away, I think, from marching out. And guess who rocks up at the School of Infantry? Somehow this fucking rat weasel got his way back into a platoon and got his way back into the mainstream program to graduate from basic training, graduated from basic training, and now he's at the School of Inf. And everyone knew this story. Everyone had told this story, and everyone knew what this guy had said, and we had multiple witnesses saying that this guy was threatening to kill us. Anyway, so The first day he rocks up, we confronted him. And before we confronted him, we had spoken to our corporals about it. And we had been given the nod of approval, so to speak. And we confronted him. And he called me a liar. And he threatened me. And I bashed him. And he was a black belt in Krav Maga. So he should have been able to defend himself. I was much smaller than him. I was 3 years younger than him. I was probably 3 or 4 inches shorter than him. We were probably a similar body weight. I might have been a little bit lighter than him. But in theory, I mean, he was a trained killer. He should have been able to beat the hell out of me. But somehow, I beat his fucking head in. And then he went to the MPs. He went to the military police. And the military police arrested me. And I was 2 weeks away from marching out of the School of Infantry. I had the honor to be a soldier in the Australian Army. And they arrested me and they took me down to their little interview room. And I was 18 and naive and I was never instructed to no comment. I thought I was in a high trust society. I thought MPs were soldiers. They just like, you know, they just deal with discipline. And I still remember my interview with the MPs and I've got it on DVD. So maybe one day you'll get to see it as well. And I remember it. I don't think I've ever rewatched the interview, but I remember the questions like it was yesterday. And because I was a very philosophical young man and I wasn't very politically minded in an interpersonal sense, I wasn't like a Machiavellian or politically aware of the machinations of the... I was unaware that there was a civil war going on in the army while I was in there. I learned later there was, but I was completely unaware. And this happened actually the same exact time as the Ad for Sex scandal. And that's actually relevant to the story. And this is a really long story, and I'm sure some of you are fascinated, some of you are bored, but it is important what comes next. The MPs asked me why I bashed him, and I told them the whole story about how he threatened to kill me, how he's got these books, you need to go find him and get these books. We've had multiple witnesses that saw these books, you know, that he's threatening to kill us, and I don't feel comfortable sleeping at night in the barracks with this fucking psycho. Like, it's threatening to stab me in my sleep. So I went and confronted him. He called me a liar, which is a projection. He's a fucking perpetual liar. And I bashed him. And I said to the MPs that I felt good about it. And they said to me, who gave you the right to do that? Who gave you the right to do it? And I thought that that was a philosophical question. I didn't realize what was going on. And so in my philosophical mind, I ummed and I ahed and I said, because at the time, I was an atheist. I didn't believe in God. I didn't know that there was a God. I didn't even know that I had a soul. I hadn't even considered it. And so I was saying, well, it wasn't God. Like, I don't believe in God, but it felt like natural law. Like, natural law gave me the right. That was my answer. And I might have read World Church of the Creator stuff just before I joined the army. I think I read a little bit of World Church of the Creator stuff given to me by Patrick O'Sullivan. And so maybe that's where I got the concept of natural law from. And also from reading, I read a book, it wasn't Gibbon, but on the Romans. I bought it recently because it was such an inspirational book. It's like this little book on the Romans, Barrow. Barrow is the guy's name. It's like a mini version of Gibbon's book. It's a great book on the Romans. So there's a few books that maybe had put this idea in my head, this idea of natural law, because I hadn't read much philosophy and at that point. And I had a really crappy version of Mein Kampf. I actually hadn't read Mein Kampf at that point. And I'd read like a fake version of Mein Kampf that was like it was modified and it was really small. I don't know how to explain it. It was like a Mein Kampf for leftists, basically. It was the only one I could find at the bookstore, or that my mate could find at the bookstore, and he bought it for me. And I said to the MPs, natural law, natural law. It was like it was my right to do it, like it was natural law. And they said, but who gave you the permission to do it? And I said, myself. Like I did it by myself. And they said, but who gave you the order? And I was like, no one. No one gave me an order. And I was thinking in my head, oh, fuck. They're not going, well, they are going after me, but they're going after my corporals. Now, I obviously didn't rat out my corporals. And I was like, no one gave me the order, which was a lie. It's not that they gave me an order, but they gave me the nod and my sergeant. And they were just like, Sewell, you're a sick cunt. Go bash that faggot. And so I was actually ordered. And these were good men. These were very good men. These guys were in their late 20s and my sergeant was in his early 30s. And these were good soldiers and they were good men. They were fucking good men. And they were all trying to join the special forces. They were just trying to get out of the infantry because they could see where it was going. And I didn't realize why they were trying to get out. I was trying to get in. So I didn't realize why they were trying to get out. I didn't see what was happening to the army. I didn't see the civil war, the political war that was happening between like, you know, how I tell you that thing, like the, you know, like the Venn diagram, like the mitosis, like the cells leaving each other. There's like a split, a schism of life. And that's happening everywhere, and it's especially happening in government institutions. It's happening everywhere between families, you know. It's between in workplaces, in government institutions, in the army, and I'm sure even in the police, although they're all fucking faggots that serve Satan. But you could say maybe the same thing about a lot of people that are, you know, still trying to just pay their mortgage, you know, within their death grip. They're enslaved to the system. To the Jews, the Jewish system, they have to ultimately be loyal and show up to work and arrest nationalists or do whatever it is, fight for Zog. But we won't get into that. But the MPs, they kept asking me, they kept trying to get me to throw my corporals under the bus, and I obviously didn't and wouldn't. And then they were so frustrated, and they let me go. And then I got pulled aside by, I won't say who, but some very senior people within the School of Infantry, who thanked me for what I had done and that they promised that they would get rid of this piece of shit and that this is a boys' club and that I'm going to be looked after. That's what they said. This is a boys' club and you're going to get looked after. Nothing bad's going to happen to you. The MPs can go fuck themselves. I said, okay. I won't say who, but I have friends. And I have always acted with honor and that's why I've always had friends. You know? But while this was going on, there was something called the Ad for Sex scandal, where some fucking slut at the Australian Defence Force Academy, which is the cadre school that builds Australian officers, she fucked a bunch of dudes on camera, smiling at the camera, and she asked other guys to be watching while she was fucked. She wanted these other officers to watch her get fucked on Skype. And she was 100% there, consensual, willing. Anyway, it turns out she was a horrible slut. She cried rape. Typical. And then there was this whole investigation. And I had friends at ADFA. I had two very close friends of mine that we all, a whole bunch, about 9 out of the 10, 11 guys that I went to high school with that I was close friends with, 9 of us either joined the full-time army, the reserves, or went to ADFA. We were just like a little army clique. It was kind of odd how gravity pulled us together. I think it was because we all played games, like video games, like shooters and stuff. But then we also played sports. We weren't like complete nerds that just played video games. We had this balance of like play video games, like play Call of Duty. But also like we loved footy. We loved soccer. We went to the gym. We lifted weights. We went for runs together. So we had this like both elements of the martial culture. And I think the combination of those things is what a lot of soldiers have in common. Which is interesting. It's like the warrior and the, I wouldn't call gamers priests, but you know what I mean? The kind of nerd, the warrior and the nerd archetype put together, make a good soldier. And the athletic nerd is the coming man, basically. And excuse me. So I had my friends at ADFA telling me all this crazy shit that was going on at ADFA. Anyway, every court martial all of a sudden is getting audited. And so I'm getting court-martialed, and it's meant to be like this little tick and flick. I've already been told what the result is before going in, and then I go in there, and everyone's all like, oh, fuck, and there's like people in the room watching. So it's meant to be like this fake make-believe court, like a kangaroo court, where they've already made their decision, and and then you've got, I don't think I'm throwing these guys under the bus. I'm sure ASIO could probably like look into who was doing this, who was in charge when I was going through, and who are these people responsible. But fuck, it's so long ago now. I don't think I'm throwing them under the bus. But I have waited 10 years to talk about this story publicly, or more than 10 years. This was 13 years ago. I think it's a long enough time. Enough time has passed now, enough water under the bridge. that I don't think these people are going to get in any trouble. They might if they're still in the army, but fuck it, who cares? So there's auditors in the room, and I get sentenced to military prison. And I thought to myself, shit, that wasn't part of the deal. I didn't throw anyone on the bus. No one threw me under the bus. But instead, it was the other way around. I didn't throw anyone under the bus, but they threw me under the bus. So I had to do some time in military prison for that. And I did it with honor and dignity, despite the fact that the entire institution is built to take away your honor and dignity. It's a pretty horrible place, Holsworthy. Holsworthy Barracks, Defence Force Correctional Establishment, DFCE. Anyway, and this is all because this ad for sex scandal, this fucking slut. And also at this, as this is going on, this is actually the moment while I'm in military prison. This is the moment that there's this vast audit of the ADF, and there's a royal commission into it. And in Parliament, they have to pass this new bill because of these fucking whores. They have to pass this new bill to give patents to all the whores, that now the whores are allowed to join the infantry, and it's just fucking disgusting that they capitulated like that. And I say that word because I've been in the army. I say that word because I've been in the army, and I saw the women that were attached to combat corps and how they behaved, and they were prostitutes. Now I didn't see many because there wasn't many attached, but the ones that were attached, it's a 100% ratio. So don't let your daughter join a combat corps or the army. There's obviously areas of the army. Don't let them join the Defence Force in at all. Excuse me, but especially don't let them join combat corps, because they just have trains run on them. It's disgusting. The power goes to their head. It's sick. The whole institution is rotten. It's disgusting, and no one has the balls to call it out. And I'll cop flak for this. You can expect a journalist to write an article saying Thomas Sewell calls female veterans whores or something like that. But I was there, and I saw how the women attached to combat corps behaved. And because of this slut at ADFA, then, the walls of the boys' club were getting broken down as punishment. They did it as punishment. Everyone knew it was a boys' club. The infantry, special forces, it's a boys' club. It's a man's club. It's a martial culture. It's a cult of Mars. It's a cult. It is a cult in the truest sense, in the best sense. It was a cult, and it was a cult that they were threatened by, and they had to destroy it. And so these faggots and soy boys and weak-chinned fat losers and women in Parliament went after and attacked the Defence Force and said, well, this is the concession you're going to make to fix your culture, because that fixes culture, putting women on the front lines. So this is all, my tiny little story over here, but it's connected. It's connected. I felt part of the transition of time. And it was funny, there was only two other guys at the DFCE that I was at well, there was only one DFCE, but there was only two other prisoners in there. And one was a guy, an infantry soldier, who had done his 4 years and wanted to get out. And while he was waiting to get out of the army, he was on the army CrossFit team. Good bloke, Shannon was his name. Excellent bloke, an absolute, the aura of the man. Older soldier, he was in his probably mid-20s, and I'm a young guy, I'm 18, 19, so I had a lot of respect. I admired him, absolutely admired him. An absolute archetype of the ideal soldier. Fit, healthy, robust, strong-willed. He was an Australian. He was an Australian, through and through. Purebred. An absolute thoroughbred. And he was on the Army CrossFit team, and the infantry wouldn't let him go and compete at the CrossFit Games, and he was like, fuck this. He asked for permission, because you have to ask for leave. And everyone on the Army CrossFit team got leave except him. They wanted him to clean cars. They wanted him to fucking unpack boxes. They wanted him to do some menial shit, just to fuck with him. And he was a good soldier. And when he asked why, you know what they said to him? What does your hat badge say? Says duty first. Says duty first. And he went, fuck that. This is my duty. Not fucking cleaning cars. So he went and competed, and they won. And then they arrested him, charged him with being AWOL because he went on leave. He went away without leave. And he didn't parade. And you have to have permission to not parade every morning, 7:30 or 7:15 if you're not a flog. And yeah. But then they didn't keep him arrested. They said, "You've got a court martial coming up, you're going to jail, cunt." And yeah, for winning, for being a sick cunt. Anyway, they did so well that they had to go to the CrossFit Games over in America. So this was like the national CrossFit Games. And then they won, so they got to go, or they placed high enough to go over to America. So the day before his court martial, he caught a plane over to America. And I think he said he came 62nd in the world. And he did it, had a great time, and then he went on leave. He was on leave unofficially, and then he had a bit of a holiday. I think he went to Mexico, or went to California or something, and then he came back to Australia. And the MPs and the federal police arrested him at the airport. And then this time they didn't let him go. They held him until his court martial. They court martialed him, put him in prison for a month alongside me. So we're in there together, going to the gym. So we got 1 hour apiece. The rest of the time was torture, but there was 1 hour of peace during the day where we got to go to the gym. And so me and the guy, the best CrossFit in the army, and I had all the records for the regiment in Darwin. So he couldn't believe it, like, because I did Olympic lifting, I did powerlifting. I was young, but I was strong. Like, it's not that impressive when you consider the numbers, but for the army's not very strong. The army's not very fit. It's just very enduring. There's a lot of good runners, a lot of good pack marches. But I also was the second best pack marcher. I came second on the 20 kilometer for my battalion, and that's why the recon guys all liked me, because they were like, "Fuck, look at this lid," which means new guy. They're like, couldn't believe it. This new guy fucking beat everyone, and everyone except one guy. And yeah, so, but I had the squat record. I had the under 80 kilo bench press record, which was only 2.5 kilos off the over 80 kilo bench press record. I had the, I don't think I had the deadlift record, but I had the snatch record, the clean and jerk record, pull up record. I didn't have the push up record, but I was close. I was getting close. And so you had basically two of the fittest guys in the army, like in the whole army, that weren't in special forces. But even then, we were probably comparable to the best of their level. But being in special forces isn't about being the fittest. I want to make that clear. It's about having a different kind of grit and endurance. That's what it's about. It's about having a certain mentality. But being fit helps, certainly. You got to be in shape. You got to be a standard deviation or two above the rest. But here we were, some of the fittest guys in the army. And we're both in military prison doing clean and jerks and snatches and overhead press, bench press, push-ups, burpees. Like, it was funny as. And while we were there, there's a magazine, a military magazine or a newsletter, and there was a journalist within the army, an army journalist in uniform, this chick, and she came into the DFC because she had to write a story about DFC, about how it's such a good program and how it helps heal soldiers that have done the wrong thing. And his wrong thing was winning. My wrong thing was bashing a fucking piece of shit faggot that shouldn't have been in the army under instruction. So here are the two out of the three prisoners in the gym. And she took a photo of us in the gym. And that's somewhere in the archives. That's somewhere in the army newsletter from, it was August or September 2012, I think. And that's somewhere in the ether. It's so funny, me and Shannon, and there was a third guy in military prison, and he was like an admiral, and he raped and molested his own children and a whole bunch of Indonesian cleaning ladies, and that's a whole story in itself that takes an hour to explain, which I'm not going to explain. So I need to digest after saying that. Like, what the fuck? So, and he was like one of the most senior people within the Australian Defence Force, within the, he was like, I think like third or fourth or fifth in charge of the Australian Navy. And he was in there for being a fucking child molester. Really boggles the mind, doesn't it? Anyway, I got out of military prison and everyone shook my hand. All the CSM, the company sergeant major, regimental sergeant major, all the officers, my sergeant, corporals, all of them, everyone shook my hand. And it made it feel better. I was like, okay, I don't have any anger towards it. And they explained why. And I was like, okay, all right. And then they just said I was a good lad and good luck with battalion. And then they shipped me off the 5th battalion. I rocked up in Darwin with the fucking flu, I might add. So I didn't leave a good impression when I first got there because I had the flu and I went down with heat stroke the first day. But you're not meant to do battle PT. You're meant to do like a, you meant, it was the middle of winter and I was like shivering to death. For fucking weeks in fucking Holsworthy Barracks, which is freezing cold, is up in the hills outside of Sydney. And then they put me in the 34 degree heat the next day, basically, or 2 days later, in Darwin, in 100% humidity, and had me in body armor and webbing, doing battle PT, flipping tires. I was like, I can do this, I can do this. I had the flu, I had all the snot coming out of my mouth, and then I fucking just passed out, like as I got to the medics. And then they gave me shit for being a weak cunt. I was like, oh, fuck, this is a bad start. This is a really bad start to battalion. But I redeem myself mostly, except for a few dramas. But that's another story for later. But anyway, that's what I wanted to explain. That's what I want to say to you guys about how, you know, when you punish someone, what gives you the right? And I felt like bashing Josh Wilkinson in that moment, that I was performing a public service to the cult of Mars. I was eroding fabrication. I was eroding falseness. I was destroying moral weakness. This man blasphemed against our cult. You know, he said he was something that he wasn't. He was saying he was a commander when he wasn't. He was a recruit. He denigrated the cult that had been built off on sacrifice, and it felt good and natural and honest to lay punishment down on him and to beat him, and I did my time in military prison with honor and dignity, with my head held high, even when they're staring at you while you're having a cold shower and they're abusing you in there, you know, the guards. You know, me and Shannon in there having our cold shower with our shriveledness, and the guards are just abusing you, psychologically tormenting you, humiliating you. For what reason, I'm not sure. Perhaps they need to be audited. I don't know why that would be necessary for military prison to function as a thing, but I think maybe they were sadists and they got off on it. But yeah, you were kind of in the underworld there. But you know, that's another thing to digest and process. But they didn't do that to the pedophile, which was odd. They didn't actually torture the pedophile. They just left him in his cell. He had special treatment because he was a senior officer. So that's something to consider. But yeah, my whole life's been upside down. It's made me really structure morality in a certain way. Hold on. Hold on. What are you doing? Oh, it's you. Hello. Hello. Sorry, I can't have you on stream. Daddy's working. Yes, that is an impressive fork. Oh, well done, miss. Watch your fingers. Sorry about that. I thought it was the missus barging in, but it was just toddlers get to a certain age where they can open the door themselves, and they're like, they love it. They're obsessed with like opening the doors and closing the doors. So it's all right. She got it. But yeah, they did kind of jump scare me a little bit. Where was I going? I'll digest. I'll go through the comments. I have a, there's a lot to talk about. We still got to cover Kanye and the Pope and Homeland and all this, but I just think that's a story worth sharing. Yeah. There's a lot to share. Pause, have a drink. Jeez. Where are we with the comments? Someone asked, did your dad come from Dagenham? Correct. Someone says, "Hi, Tom, watching near the shrine to our ancestors." Swindon says, "The arch fibber." Yes, the archetype of the fibber. Self-defense is a common law right. It is technically trespass to deny a man the right to self-defense. Yeah, what I did was kind of some strange borderline thing where it's not really self-defense, but it's like what Varg did. And I didn't even know who Varg was at the time, but I remember telling the story around the campfire to some of my mates. And they were like, "So you kind of did what Varg did." And I was like, "What'd Varg do?" And they're like, "You don't know what Varg was in prison for?" And I was like, "Didn't he just stab a communist?" And they're like, "Yeah, but do you know the full story?" And then around the campfire, they're telling the full story about how the communists threatened to kill him, so, and wrote like some death metal song about how he's going to torture Varg, he's going to kidnap him and torture him. So Varg went over there with a knife, like, "Well, I'm here, you're going to kidnap me and torture me?" And then just killed the guy. And that's fucking awesome. What a legend. I don't care what you think about Varg, that's just fucking great. So yeah, it's like, it's a gray area, because it's like, to premeditated, or to like, it's not like I didn't do like a premeditated self-defense. I did like a, I don't know. There's got to be some Latin word for it for sure. There's got to be some sort of precedent law, some sort of concept where someone threatens to stab you in your sleep and then you confront them before they can do the act themselves. My understanding, and I'm sure there is Latin for, I know for a fact there's Latin of this because I have studied it, but I just can't remember the Latin off the top of my head. But in our constitution for our organization, making a allegation against someone deserves the same punishment as what the allegation is itself. So if you accuse someone, like in theory, not that this would happen within the org, I hope, but if you accuse someone of falsely of rape, you should be punished whatever the punishment of a rapist is. That to me is natural law. If you make a false allegation against someone, if you accuse someone of being a thief, and that is can be proven as a false allegation, you should get whatever the punishment for making the false allegation. So the more severe the falseness and the more severe the allegation is that you're falsely attributing, the more severe your punishment should be. I think that's natural law. It's a balancing of the universe, which in my stupidity, in my, not stupidity, but in my naivety, in my youth, I was trying to explain to the MPs like how I was balancing the universe. That's why I'm allowed to bash him. Like it can't be illegal, can it? Like, you know, how can I sleep at night when someone's like knows where I'm sleeping and they've got a knife? They've got like, we've like, he specifically said his bayonet. We've all got a bayonet. My bayonet's somewhere around here, probably in my old bag somewhere. But you know what I mean? Like you're issued a bayonet, and then he's saying he's going to use his issued bayonet to kill me in my sleep. It's like, that's a breach of the peace. That's like a breach, a violation of the non-aggression principle. Where are we at? Ferryman's in the chat. How much did I miss? You missed probably, he missed story time. Yeah, you have to go back. Where are we? 3:45 in the morning somewhere. Yeah, cool. All right. Well, I've caught up with the chat. Nothing I need to address. But yeah, that's the main pretense of the stream. This idea, this absolutely crucial moral framework we have. And I don't blame Christianity for it. It's just weak cuntism. And weak cuntism, as a religion, has infected Christianity. Some will argue and say that Christianity has always had the root of weak cuntism in it. And my argument to that is, you're right, but that's because Christianity is 1 million things. And because it's 1 million things, and it is 1 million things, and anyone that thinks it's not 1 million things hasn't read the fucking book, have they? No, I'm cursed. But yeah, you haven't read the book. You're ignorant and you're stupid. You haven't read the book. Read the book and then you'll be like, oh, okay, it's a million things. So because it's a million things, it's easy to highlight, it's easy for a priest to highlight all the weak cuntisms in it. But it's also easy for a priest to highlight all the good cuntisms in it. I'm Australian, I'm allowed to say that in regular speech. So what I was saying before about this idea that there's bitch Christianity and there's solo Christianity. Likewise, there's bitch morality, there's slave morality, and there's master morality, or there's this heroic morality. And obviously Nietzsche and there's many critics of Christianity that will say, well, Christianity is of itself slave morality. And I would argue that because it's a million things, it's mostly slave morality. I think there's a lot of good things in it as well, because there's so much in it. But there's too much of a fundamental nature in it that I can't agree with, and it has to be codified, which I guess the Catholic Church has always tried to do, but then the Catholic Church in itself is subverted. So the primary institution that's trying to codify, there's a million things here. How do we apply these million things to the in-group versus the out-group? Because turning the other cheek is a good principle for your own family. It's a good principle for the in-group. You know what I mean? It's a good principle for someone that's your friend. If people get angry, it makes sense. I'm not against turning the other cheek for your friend, but you don't turn the other cheek to your enemy. Now, is it enemy? Is it enmity? Is it, what's the exact translation of the word? Let's get into the translations of the words. And then it just opens such a can of worms. And what I always say to people is, your morality should come from within you. You have a higher self. You have an instinct. You're not always right. We're not perfect, but that doesn't mean that we can't put the higher judgment on earth. That isn't just left only to some sort of subcontract of the ethereal, the eternal, that's done in a different plane of existence. I can't get on board with that. I never will be able to. We have to manifest it here. It lives through us. So, and people like me have come and gone. They've gone extinct. Some have triumphed. A lot of them have probably ended up dead and in prison because they have thought of themselves as righteous, and they have thought of the system or the society as being sick and wrong. And what the system does is it identifies people like me. People like me paint targets on their back. It's impossible to be a gray man, because to be a gray man, to be invisible to the system, to not have a target painted on your back, you have to be okay with things that you know are wrong. And I can't do that. That's why I'm mask off. That's why I'm face docs. That's why I'm out here saying that actually we're not wrong. Trust your instincts. It's actually society that's wrong. It's society that's sick. It's society that's been groomed into this satanic, negative, demonic, whatever you want to call it, garbage. You know, for basically all of Aryan history, pagan, Christian, whatever, we executed homosexuals. For basically all of human history, almost every society did it, even outside of our societies. And the idea that every human being or every society, every Aryan society was wrong and we are currently right, correlated to the same time that we're currently getting conquered by other races and other groups. Isn't that interesting that the Greeks get abused all the time for being a bunch of poofs, but they weren't. They executed homosexuals. The Greeks weren't poofs. They were poofs when their civilization was dying. And that seems to be the correlation, that one of the horsemen, so to speak, you know, is there's death itself. What's that? The last one. But there's what? Famine, pestilence, you know, what is it? Disease? Or is disease pestilence? Anyway, I'm sure you'll correct me in the chat. But there's this idea that the apocalypse cometh. That's true. It cometh for civilization because it becomes over domesticated. It loses its spirit and its instincts. It turns the cheek too much, clearly. It becomes too liberal. It allows too much trespass against them. And it becomes gay and fat and retarded. And it dies. And it can be reborn, but it has to be reborn through a purification process, through a completely revolutionary attitude and mentality. So I'll have to check my notes. Oh, that's right. You want me to go through pop culture and current affairs and stuff like this. I can do that. I'll just have to pause first. Yeah, I'll go through it. I'll go through it. Yes. Where are we? Where are we? Don't even get me started on Charlemagne. Don't even get me started on the Saxon wood. Don't even get me started. Don't make me go there. Don't make me go there. I'll do it. But now we'll pause. We'll pause. So, so the Pope is dead and he's a faggot. He's a dead faggot. Keir Starmer, not just a faggot, but a pedophile. An obvious pedophile. And I saw some great conspiracies, which I'm inclined to believe, that Keir Starmer was getting groomed and raped by that famous faggot pedophile. Was he a musician? What's his name? Someone in the chat will know. But when, because there's photos of Keir Starmer when he was a boy with that famous person that turned out to be a habitual pedophile, like hundreds of cases, confirmed cases, I'm certain. And there's photos of them together when Keir Starmer was a little boy. So he's been involved. Keir Starmer's been groomed a little bitch boy for the Zog Illuminati, whatever you want to call it. He's been getting groomed by those fucking freaks, that cult freak show. And, you know, just like the faggot that's in charge of, you know, Canada, the faggot that's in charge of France, you know, they're all faggots. They're all faggot pedophiles. They're all bitch boys. They all got raped as little kids. Yeah. You almost feel sorry for them, but then you don't because they perpetuate it, which brings me back to the central contention of the stream, this idea that you have to kill a part of yourself. You have to kill a part of yourself. When the community enacts justice, when you kill the prostitute, right? When you throw the stone, when you have the strength to throw the stone and kill that prostitute, despite the fact that, you know, some of the men in that village might have visited that prostitute or thought that prostitute attractive, or maybe they had sinned themselves at some point. Maybe they'd jerked off once or twice or 10 times in their life. This idea that we can't ban pokies because we've slapped $50 on the pokies. This idea that we can't ban OnlyFans because we've watched porn once or twice or 100 times in our lives. This idea that we can't fix the solution because we have been poisoned by the problem is insanity. It is insanity. It's insanity. The reason why the prostitute needed to be stoned to death was because the community needed to heal. The community needed to. People say that oh, you can't ban prostitution because oh, it's the oldest living trade in the world. It's like, so what, we don't ban murder because it's the oldest action in the world? Like what? I mean, this is crazy. And murder, obviously, different to killing. There's killing for justice. There's killing for war and defense. But then there's murder. There's killing someone because you don't like them, or because you've had an argument with them, or because they humiliated you because you're a piece of shit, and you needed to be humiliated. So the tribe stones the prostitute to death because it needs to heal. It needs to. Now, it doesn't solve the problem in entirety. It doesn't cure prostitution. But it's a step in the right direction. So I'm not advocating for anything criminal in 2025 and its current bullshit retarded laws. I'm just talking biblically. I'm talking about a story in the past. Because they'll probably, you know, who knows what the fucking satanic faggot police will do when you say things like this, when you're talking theoretically about biblical stories. You know, maybe they'll accuse me of hate preaching or something, but that is a historical reality. That happened. They burnt witches. Now, I'm sure not all witches were bad witches, but look, I'm sure that a lot of them deserved it. I'm sure that all power is abused at some point, But these kind of responses don't happen in a vacuum. They don't happen out of the ether. Now, some will say that it was a hunting down of pagan healing women. And I do believe that that was probably a small percentage of it. I do believe that that's true, that there would have been killings that would have been unjustified, that would have been, ultimately bad for the health of the race and of the community and of the tribe. Certainly, I do agree that a portion, but I think overall, seeing where the world has, what has become of it now, there's going to need to be, as it gets worse and worse, the solution to the problem becomes more and more drastic. Now, obviously, you don't want to necessarily only be able to solve problems with the sword. That leaves you with very limited tools afterwards. You actually want to kind of not avoid the sword, but you want to be very, very careful. The sword is very, very heavy, and you have to be very careful how you employ it. I'm not like, just fucking, we're just gonna... But look, you know what I'm saying. There does have to be balance. When bringing balance to the universe, which is our destiny, you can't just bash everyone you don't like, Thomas. Something to consider. But yeah, Keir Starmer, child rapist, raped as a child. The Pope, dead faggot. Kanye came out, I think, today. So Hitler's birthday, Rome's birthday as well. A lot of people don't know that. I think Rome's birthday is the 21st. So Hitler's birthday, Rome's birthday, the Pope's dead. Kanye is saying that he sucked his cousin's dick from 6 years old to 14 years old, something along the lines of that. Well, maybe Nick Fuentes was right. Kanye just needs to convert to Catholicism, and then his soul is no longer damned, because currently his soul is damned, not because he sucked nigger dick. His soul is damned because he hasn't absolved himself of his sin by being cleaned through the purification process of having water poured over your head by another nigger under the auspices of the Catholic Church. Do you know where baptism comes from? I know I'm going hard today, but I have to. I have to, because it's getting fucking ridiculous. Do you know where baptism comes from? It's what the Roman gentry, the gentlemen, the gens, the nobles, the men with names, the men of the founding stock. It's what they did to slaves, because slaves are unclean, and you don't want an unclean person being in your house. So they baptized them, so that they could say, you're no longer, we've cleaned you, we've spiritually purified you through this baptism process. Now you can exist within the house. You're allowed to be in our house now. You can sweep our floors and you can clean our latrine and you can do all the things that slaves do. And you're now clean enough to do it, slave, because we baptized you. And the Catholic Church, they liked that. They thought that that was brilliant. They liked what the aristocracy, the aristocrats did of Rome. They thought, that's brilliant. And they took it for themselves. That's what it is. That's a fact. Now, you can argue that it has a different meaning now and rah, rah, rah. But that's where they got it from. That's who they copied it from. And you can say the Bible and rah, but the Romans were doing this long before the Bible. The Greeks were doing it long before the Bible. It's a very old, ancient Aryan tradition, baptism. Very, very old tradition, long before we discovered Yahweh's book. So, I didn't intend to go that hard, but this idea that you are unclean, you can't come into this house, you can't be buried in this plot, your soul is forever damned for eternity, no matter what kind of person you are or were. But once we have decided, now we have the authority, we have been given the authority, we alone have the authority to clean your soul for eternity. I had to do it to you. If you're still listening, I hope it's sinking in. I had to do it to you. It is ridiculous. I've probably upset some people now. There are a lot of good Catholics. And I love all of our Catholic brothers that are white nationalists. I do. I do. But I had to do it. Or just not just Catholic, all Christian. I mean, the whole baptism. We need to rebuild the gens. The Gentiles. We're Gentiles. We're not goys. Goy means slave. It means beast. We're not goys. Well, some are. Some people are goys. Some white people are actually goys. They are slaves. They don't have a soul. They are spiritual slaves. But if you're watching this, I hope that you're a Gentile. That you're of the gens. Of the genes. Of the blood. Of the royal blood. We're fallen, yes. We've fallen. Our blood has fallen. But it can be rebuilt. You're of the gens. You're of the genes. You're a gentleman. Yes. We have to rebuild it. And it starts at the individual. It starts with the family. It starts with that noble conduct. And we have fallen. Absolutely. We are in a sick society. And our fathers did not pass everything on to us that they should have or needed to, but they didn't have everything passed on to them. We're finding our feet again. We are like orphans. And because we are like orphans, guess who else got baptized in ancient Rome? Guess who else? Guess who else got baptized? Because baptism, the word that they used, the word the Romans used, wasn't actually the word for baptism. It was, and they didn't use the word marriage much either. It was the word adoption. Adoption. Women were adopted into the house, into the family. They came from the phatry. They came from the friends, family friends. You married women within your phatry or your tribe. Family friends grew up in the same neighborhood, same street. Your brother knows this, that, 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 that. Families arrange things based off good breeding practices and friends they get along with and who they need to move forward with. Into the infinite. And then they were adopted. But also orphans were adopted. Orphans were baptized. Different levels of things. The process of baptizing or adopting a woman was what we call marriage. It was a long sequence of principles and prayers and rituals that we still do today. Down to the details. I mean, this is written in ancient Roman law. Down to the details that you carry the woman through the doorway without her touching the doorway. Down to those details. We still do stuff like that. You still see that in Hollywood movies today. And that it comes from 3,000 years ago. It's incredible. You know, these ritual. We were a ritual people. And we still have the blood memory. We still remember our rituals. As Aryans, as ancient people. But we've become orphans. We have become orphans, adopted by institutions. And the strongest institution must be the family. And the family is always at war with the order, the holy order. The family, the gens, is always going to be at war with these other cults, these collective cults. There are collective cults like the cult of Mars or like the cult of Jesus or like the cult of the church or the army or the parliament, which is the cult of the fucking fat bureaucrat piece of shit. it's actually where we get the word parasite from, the cult of the parasites. So the family is always in a perpetual war with these things, but it needs to be. It needs to be because the truth is somewhere between the two. The family alone cannot succeed. We do need to collectivize. It's not all just this libertarian kind of mindset, where this aristocratic libertarian mindset. There is always a balance. You know, a lot of people don't like National Socialism because they can't get over the word socialism because it's the word collectivism. They can't get over the collective. They think the power needs to be all in the family. And I agree that the family is absolutely shattered and weak, and we need to build power back up in the family. But I believe we need to do both. We need to retake collective institutions and we need to rebuild the family. And they need to share power. A strong society is a halfway point between civilization and barbarity, or being a barbarian. A strong society or a strong nation, a nation is a halfway point between barbarian and civilized. A nation is a halfway point between the power of the order and the power of the family. It's the halfway point between the power of the warrior and the priest. It's the halfway point between the power of, the nerd and the athlete. This is the coming man. This is what I've been trying to explain for years now. This is where we need to balance it. We need to be judges. Judges. We need to use our judgment, our discernment to find where the straight and narrow is, where the halfway point of these principles are. And you can look at it from whatever lens you want. I don't care what you call it. Call it something other than National Socialism. Call it something other than fascism. Call it something other than natural lawism, proprietarianism, Catholicism, orthodoxy. I don't care what you call it. I don't care what you call your identity. But this is how we succeed. The world is imbalanced. Our people are imbalanced. And we need to have a spiritual, which for me, a lot of the time when I say spiritual, I don't necessarily mean it in a woo-woo way. Like, oh, I can't feel it, but it's there. A lot of the time, I'm just meaning it in an ethereal, eternal way. Like, I'm saying we need to look at it beyond our own lifetime. We need to think about our afterlife. We need to think about we die, but we don't go extinct, and that there's a discernment between death and extinction. There's a discernment between death and extinction. Most people don't understand that. Everyone dies, but faggots go extinct. I'll let that digest. Everyone dies, but faggots go extinct. You die, I die, but we have an eternal, immortal soul that lives through the Son. The Son is the savior of the Father. You cannot reach the Father except through the Son. You cannot reach your afterlife. You cannot rest in peace without the Son. Now, there's a lot of men without sons. And that's hard, but they can contribute to a higher power still. And their extinction is a sacrifice. If I die before having sons, which if I die tomorrow, I don't have any sons, I would be a sacrifice. My line goes extinct. I'm just a name on a wall or a name in a book. Sad, but life goes on. Life goes on. Your life, your soul. Now, where my soul goes, this is my religious belief. If I die without having a son, because you have two legacies, your material and your spiritual, but your son is both. Your son is your spiritual and your material legacy. He's both. He carries the immortal soul and your genes, the blood and the honor. But this is my belief as to what happens if you die without a son. Your soul goes into the hive mind. Your soul goes back. It goes back into the collective. There's a collective God of us, of the gens, of the nation. Every nation has a god. Every nation has a god. To deny that is to deny the nation's existence, which is the primary problem with universalism. Every nation has a god, and I'll fight to the death for that principle. Anyone that thinks that my god doesn't exist. Every nation has a god, and when you die without having sons, your soul goes back to that god. Your soul goes back to the God of your nation. It re-enters the hive, it re-enters the collective. It is remembered because it is part of a sacrifice. Now, our God, the God of our nation, is a hero. And I won't go too deeply into it because I'm doing a very clean little edit, very soon in for the purpose of Anzac Day. So I won't go into Anzac Day and I won't go into this too deeply. But our God is the spirit of the hero. He sacrifices. He is a hero. That is our national God. That's the God of our nation, of our race. He's a hero. He's beyond a hero. He's a God. But he represents heroism and sacrifice and love and hate, all of these things. And when you die without a son, the efforts you put in feed that God and go back into that hive mind. They strengthen that collective. They honor that God. They feed that God. You're a sacrifice. And there's no way of cheating that. If you're trying to cheat that, if you're trying to, like the Aztecs, kill virgins on the fucking top of the temple, you're not feeding your national god. You're feeding something else. You're actually weakening your national god, because that's not what virgins are meant to be doing. That's actually not what that's the dark magic. There's light magic and there's dark magic. They both exist. You have like a national god and you have a national enemy. And your national enemy feeds adversary, as it says in the Bible, the adversary. Your national adversary, your national enemy, feeds off your weakness. It feeds off your stupidity. If you're going to sacrifice a bunch of virgin women on a temple, like a fucking retard, instead of having them marry and produce strong sons and more virgin daughters and perpetuate your kind ad infinitum. And the rituals and the prayers and everything that has honored and fed that God and caused it to be your protector this whole time. Now, someone will ask, but is there a God of all the gods? Is there a universal God? Is there a creator of the universe? I think that they're all competing. I think that they all stem, perhaps, from a singular force. Yes, that makes sense. That's philosophical sense for there to be a universal creation. Yes. I don't argue that. But that force schisms. That is the force of life. Life constantly schisms, and it schisms between upward movement, downward movement, sideways movement, life and death. And death itself leads to extinction. Like a tree, it grows upwards and outwards, but some branches get rotten. So is there a total tree god force? Yes. And then are there national gods that represent branches of the tree? Sure. And then are there little tribal or family gods even? Are there archetypes of the family? Are there heroes of the family? Is there an ancestor? Is there a spirit? I'm a soul. Yes. Is the soul god as powerful as the Aryan god? No. He's a very small god. And there's not many people that understand him, and there's not many people that pay libation to him, that pay sacrifice to him. He's a tiny little god. He's a tiny little spirit. Now, I'm sure the Christians are all cringing, like, oh, so there's just infinite gods. Every family has a spirit. Every man has a spirit. Everything has a spirit. It's a hierarchy of spirits. It's an order of love. You can call the tribal, like, look at this St. Bridget's Day, for example, which is a pagan god, but the Christians absorbed it. St. Bridget's Day, they turned into a saint. So it's not a god, no, because it can't be comparable to Yahweh. It's not on the same tier. It's 3 or 4 tiers below Yahweh. Sure. And I agree with this order of love, this hierarchy of spirit forces. The Sul god is not the Aryan god. He's 2 or 3 tiers lower. And sure, in theory, the Aryan God would be a sub-force of the total, absolute life force. I don't deny that at all, of course. But I think the Aryan God is the favorite son. I think the Aryan God is the chosen God in some ways. I think he's the one that has he's the one winning the race to the higher being, the one where it doesn't sound too cringe, like singularity kind of cringe, but this idea that God is the life force is trying to understand itself. Life is using material to understand life. not like a PowerPoint plugged into itself, but that we can only comprehend it as a PowerPoint plugged into itself because we are limited by time as a material being. But on the ether, on a long enough timeline, on an infinite, which we can't comprehend infinite, we can't. We're not capable because of the dimension of being that we are. But on the infinite, that actually makes perfect sense. I'll pause. Yeah. Nick Fuentes. Kanye West. Homeland Party. The mundane. The mundane. Oh, they're all arguing now. I've started it. I've started it, haven't I? I've started it. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, they're all in on it. Jeez, I'm just trying to quickly read through it all. I apologize. They're going hard. I've started it. Far out. All right, I finished reading it. How long have I been going for? An hour and a half? We'll do a Q&A. How does that sound? We'll do a specific... I rant, I rave, I go on, I cook. You guys let me cook. I appreciate it. But I'll do an actual Q&A. So this will take 20 seconds to come through. Homeland Party, I guess, is the first thing. The take is obvious. You know how I feel. It's just so obvious. Like other people within the community, I think Joel might have mentioned this publicly on his page. You know, a lot of us held back and didn't attack Homeland Party despite a lot of the issues that we saw forming out of solidarity with certain activists, with guys like Steve Laws and Zuma Historian and all the guys that had, you know, they were backing Homeland. They put their chips behind them. So we're not going to go shit on their chips. We like these men. These are good men. These are honest men. But as it starts to unravel, the fish stinks from the head down. I've always said this. You know this to be true. There are bees in heaven. So, yes. I haven't publicly attacked Kenny Smith, but he is a fat, disgusting grub, and he's possibly a closet homosexual, or he's a fed. There's your soundbite. That's just fucking... fuck the cunt. Fuck him. What a despicable creature. They're booting all the youth out. That's what I heard. All the radical youth. Why would you boot the youth out? Why would you boot the youth out? And you know who they're replacing the youth with in the party? So they're booting the radical youth out because the youth wing is more radical than the party, which is how it's meant to be if you're not a piece of shit or an idiot. You know who they're replacing the radical youth with? They want faggot donors. They want gays in the party. They want gays in positions of leadership. So they're kicking the radical youth out so that they can accommodate faggots. So that's it. It's over. You cannot recover from that. There is no recover. Because the man's personal constitution, the guy in charge, by that age, you're relying off wisdom. Your instincts are so deep in there now, you're set. When you're young, you have no wisdom. You have to rely on your instincts. Now, not all instincts are perfect because we're in a sick society and you kind of have some wrong opinions when you're young about shit that you don't consider. And you need wisdom. The coming man is half instinct and half wisdom, right? Cottrell, very wise man. Yes, very wise. But what Cottrell has is instincts. I have always appreciated Blair Cottrell as a man. He has some of the healthiest instincts, very strong instincts. Now, he said some very moderate and mediocre things about homosexuals, but he's coming at it from that liberal perspective that, well, hang on a minute, the problem solves itself. Now, I've said similar things to that as well. You know, there are a lot of people that say, this is what we need to do with faggots. And then Cottrell said things like, eh, just leave them alone, see what happens. Now, can both positions be correct? That's hard. But what Cottrell would never agree with, despite some of his more libertarian, you know, we're all part libertarian, all of us. All of us are like, libertarianism is a spectrum. Some of us are 10%, some of us are 50%. What Kenny Smith is doing is beyond being that. Once you're over a certain percentage of libertarian, he's not doing that. He's not saying that he's okay with homos existing. What he's doing is he's pouring homos into the party. He is. I saw a comment where someone said he's putting termites on Noah's Ark. That's beyond stupidity. That's beyond stupidity. That's fucking evil. And he's a fat fuck. So if I ever get fat, put me down. Please. Just put me down. I can't do it. Now, if you're fat and you're watching this, just work on it, right? Like, just don't be fat. It's not my biggest pet peeve on earth. I think once you're over like 40, it doesn't matter that much, but you should still be trim. I go for a run all the time. And I go for a run because I like running. And it's important. I like stretching my legs. You gotta stretch your legs. If you don't stretch your legs, you'll get too stiff and you'll just become retarded physically and mentally. And I run past some old jokers that are always out in their garden. And they got the shirt tucked in. They're like in their 70s and they're in the garden and they got the shirt tucked in. And they give me the nod. They give me the nod. They're just like, young man, even though I'm not a young man, but you know what I mean? Compared to them, I'm a young man. And they give me the nod. And they're trim. You know, these are guys in their 70s and they're in the garden. They're dressed nice and they're trim. And they got the belt and they got the shirt tucked in. They're not ashamed. They're not ashamed. And there's something really aesthetic about that. I watched Kenny Smith do a video, and he's a fat fucking retard. And when you're a fat fucking retard, the least you can do is be ashamed of it and only film your face when you're doing a political video. Because you can kind of hide your fucking triple neck by doing a certain thing with your head. I don't know. I'm not fat, but I'm sure you can work it out. But he had the camera at his gunt, and a gunt is when your gut is so big it hangs over your cunt. Because you don't even have a dick at that point. It's just gunt. So, yeah, what a fucking creature. I can say all this shit now because all my friends are not in the party anymore, and it needs to crash and burn and die its natural death for going down the wrong path. It needs to be punished. It needs to be punished severely. And you should find great enjoyment in punishing Homeland Party, like I found great enjoyment in bashing Joshua Wilkinson in 2012. You know, like you should like, look, what's that Muslim commander? There's a Muslim commander in the Kingdom of Heaven, the famous one, the really famous one. Was it Salah al-Din or something like that? Salah al-Din? He says you shouldn't enjoy it. He says, and I think the Quran says this, that you shouldn't enjoy it. And, oh, you know, I'm not a Muslim, obviously, but I read all religious texts because I want to know what they have to say. Rightly or wrongly, I want to know what they have to say. They say you shouldn't enjoy it, that you should be completely on another plane. Like, don't even let your emotion, your passion. Now, I'm of Woden. And Woden was wild. And he had furor and frenzy. And he was wild. And he was aggressive. And he was angry. And I am of that stock. I can't help. I try to be like Yahweh's psychopathic, I'm above everything. I can win a battle and not enjoy it. No. I can't. I can try, but it's false. Deep down, I enjoy it. Now, I guess the argument could be that you should at least not show that you're enjoying it. Maybe unless it's like really good company, like and not to the public. I shouldn't show that I'm enjoying it to the public. It's all so tiresome. so tiresome. I just do what my instincts tell me to do. And I try to build as much wisdom as I can so that I don't get in too much trouble. Because I'm always going to jail for being too wild and too passionate and defending my honor and defending myself and those that I love for being a defender of the folk. So that's my take on Homeland. It just reminds me of boomers in general. It just reminds me, like boomers, they not all boomers. This is not a boomer hate thing. I think just the generation as an archetype has some serious problems. All generations have problems, and there's a lot of good boomers. We have the best grandmas, for example. Racist boomers are generally pretty good, but even some racist boomers are still pretty selfish. It just it's the devouring mother, the devouring father. That is the archetype, unfortunately. The devourer devours its own children, bites the heads off its own children, and for what? And serves them to who? Who are they serving the corpses and the heads and the bodies of their children to? The flesh. Who are they serving them to? Who is feeding on them? It's demented. I use that word precisely. It's very sad. We are national socialists. The principle is more important than the pragmatism. The principle always wins on a long enough timeline. You can make pragmatic and wise decisions as to how you go about things, as to not die straight away or get imprisoned straight away. Sure, you're allowed to be tactful. You're allowed to use tact. But tact has to be balanced with principle. There are some men with no tact, and they're always getting in trouble for bashing people. And sometimes I have to discipline them because they bash people internally. Because they have no tact. And I keep telling them, look, you need to have a little bit of tact. And they go, tact is Jewish. Tact isn't Jewish. But being only tact is Jewish. If you've got no principle and you're only tact, you're only this, how do I win in the immediate? Or how do I keep the peace in the immediate? If that's how you work, if oh, how do we get the right optics? If that's more important than any of your principles, yeah, that's Jewish. No, absolutely. It can't be more important, but it's a balancing act perpetually. Perpetually. The coming man is not just pure principle. I wish he was. I wish he was. But all of those men are sacrifices to the coming man. All of those men are sacrifices to the coming man. Because the coming man has tact. It has tact. We have to be smart about this, but we cannot cross certain lines that are sacrilegious, that are against our constitution. So we have to define the rules we cannot break, and then those become holy, those become sacred. We do not break bread. We can be polite, but they're not our kind. We don't promote race mixing, no matter what. I don't care whether a Catholic or a National Socialist. I don't care. All right? We don't promote that. That breaks a sacred law. There are sacred laws. We have to denounce it. We have to punish it. We have to clean the blood and the soul. I'll go back through the comments now and check out, because I did say Q&A, and I've covered, I think, quite decently the Homoland situation. But I can only go back 9 minutes because there's so many comments. So someone just sounds like AFD. Exactly. They're trying to do the AFD thing, which until it schisms won't actually be able to achieve what it needs to achieve. Someone says, "What about Tony Martin?" I don't know who that is. Man just won't let me watch the stream today. Yeah, you'll have to watch it on replay. As I said, Odyssey is crap. Every Australian complains to me that it's a problem. It seems like the Americans and Brits must have better internet and Odyssey works better in their country, but Australians always complain about Odyssey. Everyone's still talking about Catholicism. Carnivores are not fat. People talking about diet now. Get involved in an active club. Fat people should be Saladin, yeah. Saul is Muslim confirmed. No, absolutely not. Mudslims, sure. It's just an interesting quote from Saladin. He says something like, "Oh, you shouldn't enjoy it too much," or something. Or you shouldn't enjoy it. It shouldn't be seen that you enjoy it. You should take victories. You should take like victories, and it's similar, I think, in Mein Kampf. Hitler says something very similar in Mein Kampf. It's a natural law principle that finds its way through all sorts of different texts. Tom, you're going to get old, motherfucker. Oh, I know, I know. I'm trying to get everything done while I'm still vital. Jack the Cripper says, "Fuck obedience and slave morality. Strength and vengeance are the values of the Aryan." Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I was when my missus got home from her family's gathering and over Easter, and they were saying that they wouldn't kill pedophiles. Like they wouldn't. They don't advocate for the death penalty. The legal death penalty for pedophiles, and obviously we do as a religion. Yeah. Oh, I can't even repeat it. She was fed posting so hard. I love that woman. She just, yeah, gives me grief. If only she was more peaceful. But yeah, the fed posting is great. Where are we? There's no questions. No one's got any questions for me. Yeah. Someone said here, the coming man is equally lightning and sun tact. Yeah, exactly. If you've read Devi, you understand where I'm coming at. There's like this Genghis Khan principle, this Alexander the Great principle. There's this, Adolf Hitler principle, this Jesus Christ principle. We need to find a balance, we need to find a balance. And a lot of the argument is that Hitler was so much sun that he wasn't even as much lightning as they're making him out to be. That if he was more lightning, perhaps he could have been the one. But there's maybe another incarnation. And we're going to get Hitler 2.0 at some point. We've got to fight for it, though. Seeger saying, move to Rumble, Tom. Yes, I'm going to move to Rumble. Siku says, Sewell, not sure how knowledgeable on American its system you are. Do you believe there can be a centralized movement within the US? Or will it be better balkanized into the various regions? Man, that's a lot to unpack. That I wasn't prepared for that question. What will like? So sorry to give you a platitude, but to placate you, but what will happen will happen. That is, what do I think will happen? I don't know. Just do both. Everyone's got to work towards both. You got to do both. We got to do it all. Some groups will focus on one, other groups will focus on others. Patriot Front is clearly a national movement. There's a lot of movements that focus on the balkanization, individual kind of elements and localism. I think you have to have localism. You have to be grassroots and top down. You have to do both. That's my answer. Yeah, I don't have the answer. A betting man would say that everything's going to balkanize. A spirit man would say that we're going to have total victory. It's not even going to balkanize. We're going to have total victory. That's the plan A, plan B. That's what I've been saying for years. Go back to my Telegram when I first made it. Probably the 10th post or 5th post that I made back in 2020 when I first made it was plan A, plan B. It's like plan A is take total state, centralized power, kick out all the non-whites. Plan B is balkanize. Just separate all the white people. I think you can do both at the same time. I think you can. You shouldn't have a policy of, oh, we'll do plan A, and if it fails, we'll do plan B. It's like, no, you should work on plan A and plan B simultaneously. You should be building parallel power structures whilst also using that as leverage to take power. Tony Martin is the National Front. Okay, I didn't know that. Tony Martin, National Front. Is that like a historical, or is he like the current leader or something? Is he like the historical leader? I honestly haven't studied the National Front as much as I should have. I've had some older guys give me a rundown on the rights and the wrongs of where they went. It looks like he's still active. Yeah, sorry, I can't comment. I can't comment. I don't know. But it looks like he's still working, which is good. Tom, how do you say goodbye? Oh, sorry, hold on. There are a few questions. Not killing pedos is inherently against healthy children. Would they prefer their children raped? That's a false dichotomy. But again, on a long enough timeline, it has to be put forward to them that if we don't solve this problem permanently, then somebody's children is getting raped. So, what they are, people that don't want to solve the problem of pedophilia, for example, is it's this like very, very slavish, and I don't want to use the word feminine because my missus doesn't agree with it, and she's feminine, but it's this very slavish and weak mentality that I don't want to upset, I don't want to upset people. It's like talking about it is worse than the actual, not worse, but like they don't even want to talk about the fact that it's a problem because it disrupts their peace and harmony. And I think that in itself is feminine because ultimately I think that women should just stay out of politics in entirety and men should just solve the problem. And then we just go home and they're like, how was work? And it was like, yeah, great. Yeah, the boys and I had a lot of fun. Yeah, we got the job done. It's like they don't really need to know 100% of. Like if you just if, my missus opens Twitter and it's like a post and it says 1 in 4 Swedish women will face sexual assault or rape like in their lifetime. It's like, and she just gets out of Twitter. Like she doesn't need to see that. And I don't even want to see that. I want us to solve the fucking problem. I'm sick of seeing shit like that in my feed. And I guess so many people still need to see it to be able to mobilize. And some people look at that shit. They've been looking at that shit for 10 years and they're still not in a fucking organization. So what are you doing? And I don't care whether it's 1 in 4, 1 in 8. It doesn't matter. It's too many. It's wrong. It should be zero. It should be zero. So, yeah, it's that's the problem. That's the problem. It's not that they want their children to get raped. It's that they are just fucking weak cunts. It's just weak cuntism needs to die. Or it just weak cuntism needs to be put in its place. The weak just endure what they must. We just have to be strong. It's about strength. It's about heroism. We have to become heroes. We have to be strong. We have to honor our God. Which notion is more abhorrent, original sin or vicarious redemption? I've actually never heard the term vicarious redemption. I know what vicarious means. I wonder if that's a specific term. Vicarious redemption. Is that something that he made up himself or is that a Christian thing? Vicarious redemption, often referred to as vicarious atonement, is a central concept in Christian theology. It asserts that Jesus Christ's sacrifice acts as substitute for humanity's sins, allowing individuals to attain redemption. This means that Jesus bore the consequences of sin on behalf of others, reconciling humanity through his suffering and death on the cross. The belief emphasizes that through this act, believers can receive forgiveness and salvation. Okay, atonement. Yes, I've heard of atonement. I'd never heard it described as vicarious redemption, but fuck. Oh man, it makes me feel sick even just thinking about that. Yeah, if I was to answer that question truthfully, I would upset people even more. And I've already, I think, upset enough people today. And it's what? It's the Easter long weekend. I don't even. What's worse? Which notion is more abhorrent? See, I can understand to some extent that original sin exists, that we are not perfect. We are a fallen man. We're on the path to becoming man. I can acknowledge an element of original sin. What I don't like about the concept is how it's used by parasites to extort you spiritually. So That's a very, very dangerous and powerful concept. So I didn't use the word bad or evil. I think it's a very powerful concept. It's a very dangerous concept that shouldn't, that almost shouldn't even be played with. Like that is a concept that I, you should, you don't even want to tell children about that concept, in my opinion. I won't be telling my children about that concept. I think when they're older and they get an opportunity to read the Bible and read some Nietzsche and read some philosophy, maybe when they're 16, 17, 18, we can sit down. Because I think about my children. How you raise your children is your responsibility. You want to teach them original sin? Be your own guest in your own house. But well, you're not a guest. But you know what I mean? Like your house, your rules, my house, my rules. I will be very careful how I teach those principles to my children. That's like a that's a book club. That's let's sit down and let's talk about this. It's a very dangerous concept, in my opinion. The vicarious sin redemption thing, whew, again, another very powerful and dangerous concept that can absolve people's individual sense of responsibility. It can absolve people's individual sense of even having a soul, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. But to go fully deep into it, I would upset a lot of people. So I'll leave it there. I think I've fleshed out for you, but it's a very good question. I appreciate the question. That's a very, very important question. Maybe another time I could answer it in more fullness. Day of the Rake says, Tom, how do you say goodbye to friends? I'm mid-30s and rural, so every friend I've had since I was a toddler thinks they can just vote harder. They've taken a boomer stance because we all have good jobs. They choose to lie. I don't have much in common with them anymore. Because I tore the band-aid off, I had to say goodbye to friends very quickly, and I didn't know how to. I jumped in the deep. On the red pill. Life is schisming. We can't save everyone. There are, I don't think you should say goodbye to friends. I don't think you should ever say goodbye to friends because I think you should determine who your friends are. And I think that that's a slow process as time goes on. And if you if they really are your friends, especially if since you've been toddlers, if they're your phatry, that's your proto tribe, that's your pre tribe. These are the people that form tribes. Your friends are very important. I have very good friends now. I've had to make new friends. I lost my original friends because they didn't come down this journey with me. I lost a lot of friends, almost all of them. But I've made friends that have the same manners as me. They are the same manner of men as I am. They are of my kind. They are of my stock. They are of my blood and spirit. Not just blood or not just spirit, but they are of my blood and spirit. They're of my kind. That's why they're my friends. So people that aren't your kind, there are people that you lose in this journey, and they were never your friends to begin with. They were not your phatry. They were, you don't love them. Yeah. They didn't help you become free. So therefore, they're not your friends. They were your acquaintances that you spent a lot of time with. Yeah. So I don't say goodbye to friends. I say determine who is your friend and who is not your friend. Yeah. And people drift away on their own. I hope that answers your question. Faustian Man says, do you l live Hitler? Do you live Hitler and Wotan killed the Pope? Do you live? Do you love? Do I believe? Maybe. Maybe that's it. Think. Or do I think? Do you think Hitler and Wotan killed the Pope? The Pope was 88 and spoke about how bad anti-Semitism was on the 20th of April. Then he dies the next day. Coincidence. He died like within that day. I don't think that they killed him. No, I don't think it works like that. But I think it's funny to say it that way. Yeah. That's a weird way to say it. That's like a, and I use the word weird specifically. Weird. The fate of time. Yes. From a fate perspective, from a weird way, yes. Yes, your statement is true. I wouldn't say that in pragmatic circles. Yeah, I hope that answers your question. Do I think there will be civil war in the UK? Yes, 100%. You seem to have, Bowhunter, you seem to have the misfortune of rogue magistrates. Have you counted the number of process violations committed by them in Courts Australia and or Courts Administration Authority manuals for demanding recusal? Yeah, I'm working on it with a lawyer. I've got so many court cases, and so many of them are being done improperly. And I do have a lot of problem with the courts because they just break their own rules because they don't give a fuck. It's all political. So yeah, I'm working on it. I've got a lot on my plate. I am working on it. But appreciate the comment. Where are we? I think I can't see. Ferryman says, "Who are we rooting for, guys? Pope Ooga Booga or Pope Ching Chong?" Well, doesn't matter which one. My comment on that is, it doesn't matter which one it is. They'll be more based. You can guarantee that they'll be more based. You can guarantee that Nick Fuentes will find a way to like them. They'll be based. Whichever pope it is will be based. Oh my God, guys, check out the new based pope. That's what they'll be saying. That's what the fucking groypers will be saying. That's what all these fucking morons will be saying. Yeah, it'll probably be Ooga Booga or Ching Chong, and they'll both be based. They'll both be red pilled. They'll both be more trad. I mean, there's an African. I think it is that Sara or Sarah, however you pronounce it. I've always pronounced it as Sara, because I had an Afro. There was one African in my year level, and that's how they pronounce their name. But yeah, I don't know. It's Pope Sara, sorry, Cardinal Sara or Sarah. I'm pretty sure I've already made comments like Europe is for Europeans, like the Dalai Lama said that as well, based. But yeah, they said that like, immigration was bad to Europe and it destroys Western civilization and the content and character of Europe. And he didn't explicitly say that like Europe has to breathe out like the way that we would explain it. But he said a lot of things that were, oh my God, so based. But yeah, it would be funny if it was a nigger pope kissing white feet. That would just Oh my God. Oh. Yes, Wotan is dead. Yes, but he lives on. Don't worry. The dead one. The dead one. But there are people worshipping live men like the Pope. Fucking hell. Day of the Rake asks another question. White nationalists need to attack the weaker points of. Oh, that's not a question. At the same level of Alex Linder. Alex Linder's done a lot of good work, but he does focus basically entirely on attacking Christianity. I'm not sure if that needs to happen. I try to only do it like 10% of the time. I don't think it should be 100%. But every look, it's a collective, it's a hive mind. There are people doing it the other way around. Yeah, I think, look, people need to clean up their own houses first. Not to sound too Jordan Peterstein, but clean up your house, clean up yourself, clean up your house, clean up your tribe, or clean up your fae tree. Decide who your friends are, clean up your fae tree, clean up your tribe slash community, clean up your church, and then clean up your nation, and then clean up the world. Order of love. I 100% believe in that principle. Yeah. I think it's the responsibility of everyone to define and their circles. Yeah, I think that's really important. So it's easy to shit on other people's circles. It's very easy to do it. Even I've done it. Darth Greenslade asked me for a second time, do I think there will be civil war in the UK? Yes. Tom, do you find it 1488 American says, Tom, do you find it ironic that the Jews' ethnocentrism and vicious, undying dedication towards winning is similar to what we need to do? No, I don't think it's ironic at all. No, I don't think that's ironic. I just think that there is a lesson to learn in the Holocaust. There's a lesson to learn in the sacrifice. There's a lesson to learn in the final solution, so to speak. And I have to be very careful how I word the rest of that answer. But you understand what I'm saying. There is something we need to learn from them in order to overcome them. And it's not to become them. We don't need to become the Jews. That's not possible. But there's something that we need to learn. And part of it is a vicious ethnocentrism. And there are people that will say the opposite. They're like, oh, that's the reason why the Jews are on the back foot, and the reason why they're losing ground now is because everyone's woken up to their vicious ethnocentrism. And it's like, no, we need to have like a really strong in-group morality, and we need to know who is and isn't. That doesn't mean we become the Jews. That's not what it is. It's like, we need to realize the other thing is the tact, as you said, tact. You know, we need a balanced tact. We're not tact. Well, we're tactful in the wrong areas. We're liberal in the wrong areas. I want to make that clear. You know, that article, that essay I put on Telegram just then, the one that I originally put on Twitter before they deleted my Twitter. Liberal sacrifice. I'm not saying we need to become liberals. I'm saying we need to, like, read the article, read the essay, and you'll understand what I'm saying philosophically. Yeah, and the same principle applies for tact sacrifice. There's a sacrifice of the liberal, and there's a sacrifice of tact, et cetera, et cetera. That's the point of the stream, sacrifice, is we need to understand. Where are we with the questions? Tom, can you publish the VOD after so we can make edits and post them to X? You had some base takes that needs an edit. Yeah, I will. I'll go for a walk first, and then I'll upload it. Nick Fuentes is a has-been at 25. He looks 40. I won't comment on that. I don't think that's the way to attack Nick. I think the way to attack Nick is to be honest about what he is, which is that he's a homosexual. I don't even dislike him for the fact that he's 10% Mexican. That doesn't actually bother me. I have a lot of people DM me, and they say, is Nick white? Is Nick Fuentes white? Because I'm the authority on who's white or not, apparently. And I'm not even fucking super Nordic, 6'8" fucking cultural mode Aryan, you know. But I am 100% European, 100% Germano-Celtic. But I think I'm like 60% Germanic and 40% Celtic, like most British Isles people. And so Anglo-Saxon. Anglo-Saxon Celtic. But anyway, Anglo-Saxon. We're all brothers. We're all cousins. It's all good. A bit of Welsh in there, but the issue with Fuentes is that he's a homosexual. That's what you can't ever get over. The issue with Yi is that he's a nigger, but also that he's a homosexual nigger. His schizophrenia is not really that much of a problem. It actually makes him talented. The main problem is that he's a nigger, and that he's a homosexual, and that they're all just fucked up. These people are all fucked up. I mean, Fuentes was hanging out and sleeping in the same bed and doing weird shit with Catboy Cammy. I mean, that guy was a fucking freak. You know, I say all these kind of folk expressions. What are they called? Maxims. You know, the fish stinks from the head down. You know, another one is you lay with dogs, you get fleas. I don't associate with homosexuals. You know, Nick Fuentes, he associates with homosexuals all the time. You know, so, yeah, sick. Where are we with the comments? So attack him for the right reasons, you know. But as long as all the homosexuals and brown people convert to Catholicism, you know, we'll have the world that Nick wants to live in. Yeah. Did you guys catch the CIA dump that said Hitler didn't die in the bunker in 45? I saw that years and years ago. They put that out recently, pretending like it's some new document. But that came out in the first. The JFK files, I remember reading the JFK files the first Trump presidency. I'm certain of it. And they were saying that Hitler was in Argentina till 1967, and an FBI agent or something, CIA agent, was down there and spotted him, and, you know, rah, rah, rah. And there was all the info about the CIA assassin was down at communist school, and there was someone on the plane behind him. I remember reading all that, and like, it felt like 2018, maybe 2019. So yeah, I did see it, but yeah, I don't believe that at all. Hitler, as far as I'm concerned, Hitler died in the bunker. At a burnt offering. Tom, why do you think after 109 times history's tolerated this obvious problem? Because it's a mutating problem. because it's not the same problem all 109 times. It is the same, but it's a very clever, because things happen in long cycles. That's why. That's the short answer. Things happen in really, really long cycles. And 109 times over 3,000 years sounds like a long time and a lot of times. And it kind of is from your and I perspective. But the gods, one day in the age of the gods is like 1,000 years, you know, in the age of man. You know, it is, it's a very short period of time in terms of the age of the gods. It's a very short period of time. That's really the only way I can rationalize it to you. Tom, I don't know if you can reveal it, but have you talked to guys in Zuma Historian Steve Laws after they've left home? No, I haven't, but friends of friends have. Yeah. Yeah. I haven't spoken to them personally, but I got a lot on my plate. But yeah, I trust their judgment. They're making the right decision. It's sad that they couldn't. Yeah, it is what it is. It's part of growing up. Ferriman says, "How dare you, sir? Dogs are Aryan man's best friend." Absolutely sure. No, I like dogs. I like dogs, but I don't sleep with dogs. I don't lie with dogs. Dogs are honorable. Dogs are bored. I've got mixed feelings about dogs. They're nobility is a spectrum. They're semi-noble creatures. Yeah, they're semi-honorable creatures. They're dogs. As long as you... Dogs are dogs. I know that sounds like not super profound, but dogs are dogs, okay? They are what they are. Dogs are dogs. They're like a semi-noble creature. They're like half noble, half slave. You know, like a horse. A horse is a beautiful creature, prestigious creature, noble creature, but also it's a horse. A horse is a horse. It's utile. It's 50% utility, 50% vitality, you know? And same with the dog. 50% utility, 50% vitality. And maybe to an extent, man is 50% utile and 50% vital. But I'd like to think man is more utile and more vital. We're stronger in both areas, you know? But the goy is only utile. He has no vital. There's like a vital, utile spectrum. And we have to be both. There are people that have lots of vitality and then they're just useless. They're lazy. They don't do anything. And there are people that are really good work ethic, but then they have no vitality, you know? And whites do have a habit of leaning a lot on our vitality and not being utile enough. And I think if you really want to understand utility, read what the Jews think, which is Marx, and read what Aryans think, which is Ernst Jünger. He's big on and Spengler. Spengler is about man and techniques. Jünger, the worker. What else? Yeah, they're both big thinkers on utility. Yeah, so that's, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we've done our half an hour Q&A, but I'll just finish the last questions and then we'll call it a day. Ferriman says again, the guy who had to be talked out of killing himself after the beer hall push ran away to Argentina as Germany was being raped. What a retarded theory. Oh, yeah. Sorry, I misread that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't believe that. Hitler died for Germany. You know, Hitler was a sacrifice. Hitler was a burnt offering. Hitler was the Holocaust. Dresden was the Holocaust. You know, like it was a sacrifice, a burnt offering. Yeah, for the archetype, for the coming man. That's what he said. That's my religion, for the coming man. That's what Hitler said. He was a sacrifice for the coming man. And I think I am as well. For the hero. Tom, are there dogs in heaven? I believe that there are. Yeah, I believe that there are dogs in heaven. But they're not inside. There's no dogs inside the houses in heaven. There's no dogs inside. But there are dogs in heaven, absolutely. I took my dog once. I had a domesticated dog. I had a Labrador. Beautiful dog. Absolutely beautiful dog. And he was a sook. And, you know, Labradors are kind of lazy. They just kind of sit around, do nothing. And they like their morning walk. They also would appreciate a walk in the afternoon. I think like most dogs. Beautiful dog. And I took him hunting once. And I went out camping with the boys. And this is a long time ago when I was allowed to have a hunting license and a rifle. And I took them hunting once. Not really to hunt. They are hunting dogs. They're actually bird dogs. They're dogs that have been bred. Labradors have been bred to jump in the water like a gun dog, but specifically cold water, like Canada, Greenland, Iceland, stuff like that. So they're a water dog. And I went hunting up near Bright. It was on Cottrell's uncle's property. So me and Blair and a bunch of guys, we went up there. And a beautiful property. I can't remember how big it was, 40 or 50 acres, and it backed onto the river. It was just beautiful. It was near, but it wasn't Bright, but it was near Bright. It was up in the mountains somewhere. Absolutely beautiful. Some of the best rivers in Australia are up there. Absolutely crystal clear. The Yarra, Mel, if you ever come to Melbourne, you'll look at the Yarra and you'll be like, "What the fuck? This is a bad place to live. This is a demonic river." And there's esoterics behind that. I really want to build a city in Victoria that's not in Melbourne. Melbourne has like a shit river. We need to somehow fix the Melbourne River. I don't know. We need to terraform it somehow. I'll work it out. Like, we're going to take Melbourne back for the white man, and then we're going to fix the shit river. But the river is just gross. It's like clay, and it's just brown and ugly, and it's just abo coated. But up in the hills, there's some beautiful rivers, absolutely prestigious rivers. And I brought my dog, and I woke up one morning. He was sleeping outside by the campfire in the dust, and this is like the most domesticated, soft, sulky animal you've ever met, like spoiled, absolutely spoiled fucking Labrador. And I wake up maybe 6:30 in the morning, and I go outside and I can't find my dog, and I'm like, oh no. And I'm looking around and I'm like, Hugo, Hugo. And I hear his collar, because he had like buckles on his collar, then it like rattled, and I hear his collar rattle, and he's running up the hill. And he's just absolutely head to toe wet. And he runs up to the top of the hill and just shakes himself silly. And he just looks at me. And I've been like, and I said to him, "Did you go for a swim?" Because he woke up. The dog obviously woke up in the morning. And I mean, it was a big river. I mean, it was a big river, and it was like fast. And he must have woke up by the fire, all dusty and sooty, and he ran down on his own accord. And I thought he'd run off, but he didn't. He just wanted a morning swim. And he just ran down the river. And I know it doesn't sound like much, but I'd never seen him like that. That was the happiest I ever saw that dog. That's where I imagine that dog is right now, by that river, in doggy heaven. There's a doggy heaven, but also like doggy heaven is the same heaven as our heaven. There's dogs in heaven. We owe it to them. The dogs are coming with us everywhere. We need to make them more wolves. Right, I'm a bit more bub. I'm wild, right? I'm at least 50%, if not 60% wild. I don't like civilization that much. It's way too civilized. We need to be a bit more wild, and the dogs need to be more wild. They shouldn't come in the house. You shouldn't be picking up shit. That's insane. All right, that's why I don't have a dog, because I'm refuse to pick up dog shit. That's fucking insane. That's how you get like a brain virus. I go for a walk every day. I know you all do it. Everyone here owns a dog. You have to pick up the shit. You have to. You want to live in a civilized society, so you have to pick up dog shit every day. That's a bad ritual. That's bad metaphysics. Dogs need to be outside. You need to be on a lot of land, a lot of land, so that when the dog shits, wherever it shits, teach the dog to shit somewhere that you don't need to pick it up, and it just decomposes. It doesn't build up, and you just have one dog and a lot of land, or two dogs and even more land, or four dogs and even more land. You don't want to be in a situation where there's dog shit everywhere, which is what's happening with society. It's just fucking dog shit everywhere. So there's no dog shit in heaven, or it's tucked away somewhere. But there are dogs. There are dogs. Nowhere near as many dogs as there are at the moment. There's too many dogs. There's not this many dogs in heaven, I'll tell you that. But that dog, that Labrador, he ran down to that river, came running back up, and he was wild. Overnight, it's like his genes activated. He was just wild. And when we shot the deer, I could see it in his eyes. He just went wild. And I had really not much respect for this dog. I loved the dog, but I didn't respect that dog. But I went camping, hiking, hunting with this dog once. And I had so much, I had infinite respect for that dog after that. I was like, dogs have got to be wild. I can't buy another dog after this one. I can't. Not until we've got heaps of land and plenty of room for it to roam and run around and swim and yeah, I just can't do it. I can't domesticate a dog. We got to let them be wild again, you know? We can still tame, we're tough. But you think about like the biggest kind of dogs, they're still tiny compared to wolves. Wolves are massive. Like wolves are like over 100 kilos, some of them. You know, they're massive animals. They're like twice the size of the scariest kind of dog. So, yeah. That's a long answer, but yeah, there's dogs in heaven. Absolutely. Thanks, Swindon. Appreciate it. Someone says Sewell is a Kitler nationalist instead of a doggo nationalist. That's not true at all. I like dogs way more than I like cats. I think there's cats in heaven. I think there are cats in heaven, but not many. Not, I don't think there's many cats. And they're very different to dogs. And I know a lot of people, cat people, dog people, but cats are very different to dogs. Yeah. I'm not a cat person, but I would not be against owning a cat for the utile function of it if I had a farm. But I would not, cats are only good in the sense that, in civility. Because civility gets overcrowded and full of rats, and then the cats catch all the rats, and that's good. But then, if you let the cat inside, guess what it does? You get the toxoplasmosis or whatever it is. You get sick. You get really, really sick in the head, and that collectively creates like a mind virus. And also, if you have too many cats, they start killing all the beautiful birds, and all the beautiful birds are in heaven. You don't want all the beautiful birds being killed. But some of them are going to die. I wasn't expecting such a deep response to my dog shit post. Well, you know me, I'm deep in Piscean and in the dream world. Dogs are honorary Aryans. Yes, absolutely. Someone says, good night, lads. Yeah, it's probably like 4 in the morning where you are, so you should go on bed a long time ago. Pugs are 100% not in heaven. I agree, Nathan. That is an unfortunate reality. I've talked about this on stream, actually, that we're going to get pugs and we're going to breed them back into what they're meant to be. As just a on principle, for the principle, we're gonna make a pug department. Maybe Swindon might run it, and we're gonna breed pugs back into nobility again, just to prove that we can do it. Yeah. What's your response to all the critics on X that were complaining about Joel's extensive swearing in the speech that was recently published? Well, fuck. We're Australian, aren't we? So we're always going to get criticism for that. But the biggest thing is that we just have to consider for next time. There's like exoteric and esoteric knowledge. You know, there are speeches that are not for the internet. There are speeches that are not for the crowd. They're for the men. They're for the boys. Like you got to remember that 16 of us were locked up and being brutalized and tortured. By the South Australian police, unlawfully, unconstitutionally, illegally, just terrorized, terrorism, and the boys were angry, the men were angry, and we're Australian, so that's obvious. Does that translate to a 30-second clip while you're scrolling a timeline? No, it doesn't. It's not going to translate well. And so I saw people saying, "Oh, Joel's cringe," but they don't get it. They don't get it. They don't understand. They don't understand, and they weren't there. So, is it our fault or is it bad that we made that public? Look, Joel wanted it to be public, so good on him. Truth fears no investigation. That's what he said. That's how he conducted himself. I think it was a great speech. But you have to be there. Like I wasn't there. I wasn't there, so I had to watch it afterwards. I was in jail. I was in a bathroom again. But this time not for 210 days, this time just for 3 days. But all the state leaders, I saw online everything I saw online, all the public statements I saw from the guys, everyone loved it. Everyone loved it. So yeah, it was a good response from the internal. But I think that the comment section got raided by gropers, by brown homosexuals. So and like that's how they exist. That's why they exist. They exist to just try to dunk on you where they think there could be an L. And yeah, they're going to try that, aren't they? Because we're ultimately in a war with them. We're two completely different archetypes of man. They are gay, they are brown, They worship like weak kind of Jewish sliminess, and we are white and we are noble and we are wild, and they don't like that. They don't like our wildness. We're barbarians, and so they think that we're all, and we're all higher IQ than them. So that's the funny thing, is that they kind of try to play it out like, well, they're the intelligent ones because they're civilized and not wild. It's like, yeah, when you do speeches and you swear, you don't sound as intelligent as you are. But no one can deny people like myself or Joel or Jacob, or even like Blair's obviously known as like this big Aryan Chad, but even Blair's a very highly intelligent guy. Jacob has got, I mean, Jacob's IQ is probably well over 140. The standard deviation of like the leadership and the spokespeople within Australian white nationalism is the highest in the world. It would easily be comparable to the IQs of the NSDAP. I won't mention what my IQ is because I don't talk like that, but I have had it checked twice, and I've also was IQ tested when I was in the army, and the government know what they're dealing with. The government knows what my IQ is, so they know what they're dealing with. They know what percentile we're in, and that's why they see us as a major threat. That's why they're trying to cry. Who cares about 100 dudes marching down the street? Who cares? Nothing. They got 30,000 members of the Liberal Party, don't they? They got the whole state apparatus. Why are they worried about these guys? And it's not our rhetoric, because the left say way worse shit. The Liberals fed post all the time, and they say crazy shit, and they call for the death of senators and stuff on social media all the time. I've never seen any of them get raided. I've never seen any of them go through Senate inquiries. I've never seen any of these leftist Antifa groups getting harassed the way we are, because they're a bunch of gay retards. It's nothing to do with the rhetoric. That's not why we're getting hammered by the system. We're getting hammered by the system because they see us as their superiors. They see us, we're stronger than them, we're smarter than them, we're harder working than them, and we're younger than them, and there's less of us. But we're growing, and on a long enough timeline, they can see where that's going. You don't have to be a genius to work that out. So that's where we're at in the difference of strategy. Tom, are there stroller dogs in heaven? No. Direwolf nationalism. Toilet trained dogs. I never had a dog shit while walking in an urban area. Yeah, you can do that. Like, I've heard people. Ferriman's toll put a quote up. There's no dog shit in heaven, or it's tucked away somewhere. It's true. They're great alarm systems. Absolutely. Tom, are there dogs in Bunnings warehouse hopping trolleys in heaven? No, there's not. There's not. No. No, there's not. No, that's just fucking silly. People need to tie up their fucking horse out the front. That's just, I can't stand it. I love dogs. I can't stand it. I can't stand what's going on with this like dog cult. The dog cult is too powerful, and it's wrong. It's too powerful. It's too powerful as a cult, but then the cult culture is too weak and domesticated. It's like this massive cult. When I say powerful, I mean massive. It's a huge cult. The dog cult is just out of control. We need to put the dog cult back in its place, and get good dog cult leaders in positions of power. That's what we need to do with the dog cult. It's true. It's true. There are dogs in heaven. There are. I know I've repeated myself here, but there are. They're coming with us. It is very, very spiritual. It's very, very spiritual. They are coming with us 100%. They are spiritual guardians. They are. The wolf cult is coming with us. Are there wolves in heaven? Yes. Cats kill people via toxoplasmosis. Yeah, sure. What's your thoughts on excessive swearing, Saul? Well, fuck. Yeah, I did that on purpose, bro. Yeah, I try not to swear. You'll see that there's a few streams I've done where I've gone the whole stream without swearing, but you have to consciously do that as an Australian. Now, what I noticed was when I spent a lot of time just by myself, not socializing with Australians, I don't swear anywhere near as much. So it's just, we got to work on it as a collective. It's impossible. Obviously, you got to work on it as an individual. But Australians swear so much. And I was in the army as well, and the army was horrible. We swore a little bit in high school, and then I joined the army, and I got out of the army. My dad said to me, you are swearing like a sailor. Even though I joined the army. But yeah, he was just like, yeah, you're swearing too much. It's like a lack of sentience. It was like every third word was a swear word. And it just makes you, yeah. Someone said only weak can't swear. That's pretty funny. Someone says, I like to think that Adolf went to Nush, I can't pronounce it, but you know the one, the mythical place past Antarctica. What is it, Naushfabensland land or something like that? In a Natsok saucer, men will return in an hour of greatness need, and then I can't even read that. It's kind of fucked up. And the Natsok saucer men will return in our hour of greatest need, and is the reason the South Pole is off limits. I know what you're saying. Yeah. Ferryman's going to be Reich Minister of the Dog Cult. His dog throws Romans. That's it. That's the whole comment section. So now I'm up to date with everything. Has swearing always been part of Australian culture? When did it ramp up? Yeah, okay. That is a long answer, but the short answer is yes, it's always been part of Australian culture. It primarily came from the Irish. It's not the Queen's English on purpose. It was a form of rebellion to the Anglo kind of aristocracy, and it's a Irish Celtic rebellion thing to kind of curse the Queen's English, to not speak proper English. I innately, when I'm not surrounded by Australians, because I'm basically just English. I am an Australian. You know me. I'm an Australian. But fuck. Yeah, when I'm not surrounded by other Australians all the time, and I'm only, like, when I spend a lot of time with my dad, because my dad's English, I start speaking more proper. I start speaking more English, like proper Queen's English. I do start speaking differently when I spend a lot of time with my father. So, yeah, but when I hang out with all the young guys, you just start swearing, and the worst thing is the Zoomer speak, which is even more brain rotty than the swearing. The swearing is pretty bad, but the Zoomer speak is absolutely atrocious. But yeah, we do have to work on it. Everyone does. It'll come with time. Anyway, I'll leave it there. Gone for 2 hours. It's more than enough. You get the picture. Sacrifice. What is the central contention of this? This whole stream. We'll wrap it up. What's the soundbite? How do we wrap it up? How do we wrap it up? Sacrifice is the wellspring of glory. Hail Hitler, hail the Anzacs, blood and honor. Have a good day. What is the central contention of this? Wrap it up. What's the soundbite? How do we wrap it up? How do we wrap it up? Sacrifice is the wellspring of glory. Hail Hitler, hail the Anzacs, blood and honor. Have a good day.